This is Rugby League on Proper Sport.
Now, by all accounts, we've had it legally passed, and we can say it. We can say it. Who's going to be brave enough to say it? What Gary Etherington thinks about the media in this great sport of ours. We will be discussing what I think is a meltdown from Gary Etherington, a man who, in my opinion, is losing his power. And he's had a pop at the media today. We'll find out what the boys think about that. Certainly plenty of people having their say on Twitter, at RL, on our Y. If you want to get in touch, you're more than welcome. You know the drill, you can get in touch on Facebook. Talking about another big weekend of rugby league. A slightly cold one, got to be honest. Probably the coldest I've ever been at a rugby ground yesterday. Castleford has witnessed almost pulled off a shock. The Tigers off and running. A missed goal from Gareth O'Brien stops Salford getting their first point of the season. The Trinity are on 4 points. Another win for Leeds, who, despite not being at their best, beat all Kingston Rovers. Warrington, I get the feeling Scoy might have something to say about them. Huddersfield get their first league win of the season, leaving the Wolves in the bottom four. St Helens carry on despite being down to 12 men. A good performance from a certain Mr Richardson. I'll have Scoy purring, I'm sure. And as we said, the Tigers off and running. Wigan win the big battle down under. How good was it actually to watch Super League on a Saturday morning? I thought that was quite good. Wouldn't fancy turning up at 6 o'clock to be preparing for a game in this country. But yeah, never mind. The Wolfpack held by Barrow. Maybe Scoy was right. Barrow are going to make the top four. Maybe not. We'll find out. Get in touch. We'll talk about the Championship as well. And League One kicks off this weekend. Big crowd expected at York. The Bradford Bulls in town for a big Yorkshire derby.
You're listening to Rugby League on Proper Sport.
Right, where do we start? Good evening, fellas. Are you well? Gary, sorry, are you well?
Yeah, very well, yeah, but also as well, there's going to be a big crowd as well at Kilgore Park on Sunday. We play Workington at home. As first game at home this season, kicking off. Big crowd there, great hospitality, great atmosphere. Looking forward to Leon Price bringing his boys down.
I was going to come, but I can't make it, sadly. I genuinely can't.
But I tell you, it was a good friendly, it's a bit feisty.
Yeah, got a couple of red cards, I understand.
Yeah, there were four sent off away, a bit feisty, a couple of square ups. So a bit of the old biff on a Sunday afternoon there at Ulster, which likes to be in the olden days. But overall, it wasn't a bad game, to be honest with you.
All right.
Not a bad game.
Fair deals. Phil's had an haircut because he's going on his holidays on Wednesday.
Interesting round two, though. After round one of Super League, we said all of the games were a wide margin. There was only one that was close. This week, all the games were close, apart from one that was a relatively wide margin. So, four teams unbeaten, four yet to get off the mark. A big experiment in Australia that I think got the thumbs up from virtually everybody, however you want to evaluate that. And yeah. I'm perfectly happy to admit I am piss poor.
Very good. Look at that. Phil Kaplan going over the top. Like Blackadder there, wasn't it? At the end, he looked around and went, right, come on then, let's get on with it. Speaking of the aforementioned term, is Richard Shaw right?
Well, I'm not a journalist, so it's all right. I've been escaped the wrath of Gary Etherington, the old Gazza H at Leeds Rhinos. But I formally submit a proposal here that we should boycott covering the Leeds Rhinos. The whole media should just black them out. They don't exist. Take away all their trophies. Pretend they've never done anything.
You can have mine. That would be hard to do. Take away my
trophies. Well, that's a bit. Come on, that's a bit extreme, isn't it?
Well, I don't fancy going to Headingley and waiting around for players in the cold. So you know.
But I tell you what. From a serious point here now, and did I say because I want to just go on about because. And I say I'm not an accredited journalist as a point, but I'm a pundit.
Well, you are when it suits England, well, banging you from the camp.
Yeah. But as I say, but what the journalist supposed to do? Because as we know with the RFL, that they're not told anything; it's all secretive. So at the end of the day, they've got to speculate. They don't make things up; they're speculating what.
For people that have just basically tuned in and might not be aware, Gary Etherington in an interview with Steve Mascord, published in League Weekly, it's only fair we give them a shout, I'll quote him out of the paper. And he makes reference to the fact that there will be 14 teams in Super League next season, and the response from Hetherington was no, none at all. On that point, once again, there's a lot of speculation, and a lot of it comes from really piss-poor journalists, in my opinion. Journalists who should know better, who should have a grasp of the facts rather than just a fantasy. Mm. We've got a real problem in the game because we don't appear to have any journalists in any of the media with understanding, and it's them who are peddling a lot of rubbish that is being talked about. It's the misinformation provided by journalists. It's a real problem for our game, and it's because they don't do their homework and don't get to know the facts.
Right then, so let me just go on to this point here now then, from the man who's leading the Super League clubs now, in Ian Lenigan, right? So what are the press supposed to do when Mr. Lenigan, and he's been quoted saying Super League will be an international competition in 5 years' time? What gives him the right to say that? When nothing's been agreed, nothing has been whatsoever. I would imagine he spoke about being an international competition. I believe at that time, as well as the English clubs, we'll have Toulouse, we'll have Perpignan, we'll have Toronto, and we'll also too have New York within that time scale. That's from the Wigan boss, Ian Lenigan. Yeah, I can understand where Lenigan's coming from, and also too, Pearson, the brand Wigan and brand Hull have done a very good job down there at the moment. But for him to come out and say the competition is going to be an international game, well, let me just tell you this. I know he's listening in, Mark Campbell, the Featherstone chairman. So if it's going to be an international competition, well, first of all, I want to know where all the players are coming from with all these sides, Mark. But so then, what's going to happen then to the London Broncos? He doesn't mention London, unless London are going to be in there. What is going to happen to Feversham Rovers? He does a great job there, does Mark Campbell. What's going to happen to Leigh St Johns, Halifax, Dewsbury Rounds, Barra Raiders are trying to make a mark for themselves. The Batley Bulldogs and Sheffield Eagles, OK, Rochdale and Swindon are in the Championship. So, what is going to happen to all the history and the heritage of our great game if we're going to become an international competition, where, I think we had a discussion before the Leeds game, Mark, where it's quite simple here. The bigger clubs are getting greedy. They want everything from the television deal, from all the sponsorship, what you brought to the game, and the rest, quite simply, could go fend for themselves. I think it's wrong. Yes, I'm all for the game from a point of view getting all the publicity what it wants, and the bigger we can make that, I'm all for that. But boy, oh boy, Gary's criticising the journalists for making things up. Well, what are we supposed to do when you're getting quotes like that from the guy who is heading the Super League so-called franchises?
Firstly, don't blame the messenger. Secondly, don't naively think we sit at home and make stuff up. Thirdly, the messages coming from people involved in running the sport at the moment are incredibly mixed. Now, we went to a briefing with Ralph Rimmer, who at the moment is the interim or acting, whichever you prefer, chief executive. He quite clearly was talking about the clubs haven't decided whether they're having 12 or 14 teams. That is on the agenda. Whether Gary thinks it should be on the agenda or reported is immaterial. Because there is nobody taking a definitive lead, that's why you get speculation.
Correct.
Now, the issue with 14 teams is it isn't quite as simple as somebody sitting down saying we're going to have 14 teams. There is a broadcast partner to take into account. There is also the fact that we went from 14 to 12 clubs because there wasn't a quality of player. It has been significantly evidenced that there isn't suddenly an influx of quality player that can take us straight back up to 14. There's a lot of issues that between the 12 Super League chairmen, they can't get consensus on. Now, if that happens, you're going to get speculation. It's informed speculation. It's things that people are talking about. We spoke to Neil Hudgill about it not long ago. He was saying, we're playing as though it's going to be the same next year, but we're aware of discussions going on. Things are being tabled, but because the Super League chairman or owners can't agree, then you're going to have people reporting. The issue, I think, for Gary personally, and I haven't spoken to him about it because this has only come out today, he's just about to land in Melbourne, is that he's not now at the centre of power. He has been when his very close friend Nigel Wood has been at a chief executive at Red Hall. The supposed power grab were nine clubs who were in favour, three were against. One of the ones that were against was Leeds.
Yeah.
So Gary is now on the outer for the last 10 or 15 years.
He's
been on the inner.
This strikes
Phil. He's targeting the wrong people.
There's a man that's losing his power and he don't like it.
Well, I think he... I think in the back of his mind, he's right to say the public debate shouldn't be about how many clubs are going to be in Super League, because the debate itself hasn't been settled within the people around the table. But his frustration at blaming the journalist for reporting it should be directed at the people around the table who haven't come to a consensus.
So as well then, Phil, Mr. Lennigan, should he be allowed?
Say that.
Yeah, I'm saying, should he be allowed to come out with statements like this?
No.
You know, because you know. All right, you know, Wigan Hall, the branding that the club's out there, and fair enough. Was it a great advert for Super League? The game itself, I guess it's had mixed emotions from there. But surely he's not allowed to make statements like this.
And I think
on behalf
of
the game, when he's not in charge.
And that part of the frustration Gary Hetherington will be feeling was that he feels that those sort of statements shouldn't be being made. It's cloudy water that is already muddy. But you can't say that. Is that coming back of the franchise system? Where's the television deals that under? Pin it, as you say, where are the players coming from? What criteria are these teams coming in on? He even mentions in a wide-ranging brief that he gave to the Illawarra Mercury the possibility of Perth in Australia, who are being denied access to the NRL because they're not expanding at the moment, coming and playing in a British competition because it's only a flight away. You can't make those statements in public unless you have either the authority to do it, or you can back it up with logistics. Okay. And I think that's part of the Hetherington frustration.
What is, then, behind this, in your opinion, Rich?
I've no idea. It seems a bit of a, I won't say unwarranted attack. There are good car mechanics and there are bad car mechanics. There are good chefs and bad chefs. There are good rugby league journalists and there are bad rugby league journalists. And if Gary Hetherington had the balls to name those bad rugby league journalists, the ones he claims are piss poor, he's tarring everyone with the same brush.
I think there is another slight issue as well, and that is that a story was run about the payoff that Nigel Wood got from the RFL, and I think we all know that if he got something, it wasn't the amount that was reported.
How do you know?
Well, I think
how do you know?
I think there's been a part retraction in the paper that made it today.
Right.
That, in fact, the amount quoted may not be accurate. But again, that highlights exactly what's wrong with this sport. We don't know. We've signed a television deal with Bein where we were told they don't bring anything to the table, so we're not going to sign deals like that anymore. We've signed a 2-year deal with them, no mention of how much that is worth. We've had sponsors coming on board and we're told it's a great partnership, but what's the money behind it? You know, if there's secrecy behind what is being told, or you're only being told a limited amount of information, then...
Yeah,
this is be open, honest, and transparent. You won't have issues about whether journalists are telling the truth or not.
I
do think there is something personal there because Gary is very close to Nigel Wood. Their friendship goes back a very long way, and if he feels that Nigel has been wronged by a story that has subsequently been proved to be not quite as accurate,
can I
as
jump
it could
in here?
Be,
right, the only thing that is wrong with that whole thing is that they tried to make it look like Nigel had walked away into the sunset, doffing his cap to all and sundry, when actually he's been sacked. That's what, if he's been paid off, then he's been kicked
and
out.
The whole...
And once again, we can't control the media. If we'd have said, look, he's been sacked, we've paid him up, he's gone. No one have actually been that bothered. All right, he's been sacked, fair enough. Good luck to him, whatever, bad good riddance,
so
however
not,
you look at it.
It's not poor journalism, it's the wall of silence
hasn't been handled
that
again.
Comes from...
And the problem is that I've got with this is, remember, we got a tip-off. Someone rang us and told us in the game that Dubai debacle had cost X number of £1,000. We asked the question. We officially went down, what's the crack here? No, wrong. Absolute rubbish. Then it was... Well, it's not rubbish, but you're miles off. Then it's, well, actually, with that, you might be not. Yeah. And then eventually it was, oh, yeah, you're right. It's like, why? Mm-hmm. Why? Just, I'm with you on the money. It does my head in, right?
Yeah.
When did Super League last break its record for a sponsorship deal?
Absolutely.
Yeah? When that TV deal signed for the football, they will be telling everyone to the bean what it's cost. Even though, by doing that, it's rubbing our faces in it because we're paying for it. Mm-hmm. But yet we, as a sport, do not do that.
The other thing as well is we're a very small game in terms of the networking within the game. It's rare that a story will break that everybody doesn't know about. So we'll no doubt be talking about the likelihood of the next England management team. That's not announced yet. That's not going to be announced for another maybe week or so.
I understand. My sources suggest
but we know
it will
what
be next
the story
week.
Is.
Yeah.
And because we're a small game with a short chain of command, you have to be a lot more open and honest and transparent about the information you give from Red Hall.
Yeah.
Because
I wonder now if Mr. Hetherington, who I think got a very, very easy ride from most when they were floundering and letters of crisis, nothing to see here were going round. I wonder if something like that were to happen again, if he's not going to get filled in by the press. And hopefully he does. Well, that's my opinion.
I guess the problem is, in terms of sport and the way it's going in terms of coverage, and you see this in football certainly, the clubs increasingly are trying to control the messages coming out. Long gone are the days where Scurry would speak to his journalist friends and tell them what he wants to tell them and get that in the paper. That can't happen anymore because the clubs are so controlling of when people can and can't speak. And I understand why, I understand the reasons why, but it's almost like if you don't go along with what they're doing, you might find yourself on the outside and not... Because we see football clubs banning local newspapers all the time, cutting their nose off to spite their face, and there's only a matter of time before that happens.
There's something else as well, and that is that whilst we all want more column inches, whilst we're desperate for a national profile, it's all very well Gary Hetherington saying journalists, you know, need to do their research and write stories. Because of the fact that there is such a hold on the media management, we can't get those kind of stories in papers anymore. There are at least two or three that should have been written about Bradford and what's happened there.
Mm.
Editors of national newspapers are not really interested in those stories.
No.
So, you know, we've already got to the point, almost unwittingly and unwillingly, where it's very hard for journalists outside of the localities
the
where
frustration
the sport is
played, for me
to write
as well
these stories.
Is. There probably has been chance for those journalists to put the boot in if they want, but because they like the sport and they love it, they try and do what's best for the sport. I think he's bang out of order here, personally. I wonder what people think on Twitter, at RL on RY. In fact, we'll do a poll. Is Hetherington out of order, or is he right? That's what I would say. And you can get in touch on Facebook as well. Rich will be cracking on with that. By the way, did you get into Bradford all right yesterday, legend? I know last time you went, you had a bit of trouble getting in the car.
No, spot on. No issues yesterday, so no, it's good.
You're raring to go next week, League One?
Yep, very much so. Raring there, yes. I'd say a good conference booster yesterday, so yeah, looking forward to the first game.
About 300 a side, wasn't it? Looking at the squad list, everyone got a game. You didn't get on for 10 minutes.
I tell you what, it was freezing. It was all the four seasons there yesterday. The sun was out, then the rain came, then the wind came, then the snow, then the blue sky. Oh, it was absolutely freezing. But no, it was good. And I say, wasn't really typical pre-season friendly. There's about four or five brawls from there. The lads got stuck in, both sides.
You see, that's why I think Foley's before Bradford are going to go unbeaten. I think they're going to. I know John Keel will have them ready.
Yeah,
Gary,
yeah, you will.
That is a prelude to what's to come, because, like you said, there was nothing at stake yesterday. When they meet in a few weeks' time,
like what we're saying we Cass and Wakefield, aren't we, in Super League? The targets, you know, and everybody will be looking to knock them off, and everybody will be looking to perform to their best when they play the Bulls. And as I say, they've got no easy start either when they go to York on Sunday. And,
there's some good teams in League One. I mean, Doncaster have built impressively. Yeah, we had Carl Hall in here. He was telling us what they were doing. Whitehaven are not going to be a pushover. They showed that in the friendly against
Working to what we push over.
Newcastle finished the season well, and
so Whitehaven as well.
York, I reckon, again are outsiders. And the one team we've not even mentioned, Oldham, who were relegated with Bradford, solid team. Naylor's building a good team.
Oldham 3 weeks ago.
There are two divisions in League One, but the top maybe six or seven.
Oldham 3 weeks ago absolutely hammered us, and they say Scott Naylor, the coach, they play in the right way, but the forwards, big set of forwards, good mobiles, and they say the halfbacks are asking plenty of questions. So yeah, it's very, very competitive. Very competitive.
Good stuff. Right, what's happening on
Howard says he's out of order. Had just as easy a ride as Wood. We gave Nigel Wood a hard time when he was in the studio.
We asked the questions.
What can you do? Chris says he's out of order, big style. Marley says, has been an element of secrecy, obviously. We as fans who pay to go to games and pay for TV subs are shareholders or stakeholders and should be better informed.
All right, well, Martin, I'll ask you a question. I don't know if you've bought a season ticket. How are you going to feel? I don't know even who you support. You buy a season ticket thinking, my team are going to be fighting for their life this year. I want to go to every game. And then you find out in 3 months' time, actually, it doesn't matter, mate, whatever happens. You might as well toss it in this season because you're going to be in Super League next year, or you're not going to be in Super League. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke.
And we do generally not know what's happening next year, do we?
Well, Adam Pearson has given a hint to the whole Daily Mail that 2019 will be as is, and this will now start in 2020, because they've missed the threshold where you can make change now for next year. If you're going to have the eights, if you're going to have a £1 million game, the likelihood is, and I think one of the things that Gary Hetherington is saying in the most clumsy of manners, is that it will be status quo next year. So all this speculation needs to be ended. Well, it can only be ended by the chairman themselves coming out and saying 2019 is going to be as is.
We had a meeting with the acting chief executive of the RFL,
who
said they are looking at going to 14. So maybe they need to sort that out.
Also said that if Toronto, we talked specifically about did prove their worth on the field, they weren't necessarily sure of promotion. So we've got 17 messages going out here, all of which are different. What somebody needs to say, and I think Adam Pearson did hint at it in the whole Daily Mail, that 2019 will be the season we expect it to be on the back of what's happening in 2018, and all discussions now is transferred to 2020. The other fly in that ointment is you have to take your broadcast partner with you. They are involved as shareholders in the game to demand for the money that they pay a certain number of matches. So you can't just change the structure without them being involved in that structure. They also are well behind the idea of Jeopardy. Because it works for them as a television company. A £1 million game, for whatever reason, other than it's an event that people want to watch on the television, they pay the money for that game. So you can't just suddenly disband it without having them involved in the discussions. And that's the issue. We haven't had that debate.
Hmm.
Martin is a Leeds fan.
He says that he's not holding it against him.
But I have more sympathy for the likes of Fev fans and others fighting for promotion.
There you go. There you go.
It's only the fact that no one said, yes, this is what's happening, that's caused the speculation. Otherwise, we'd have just gone and moved on. As we do. Nicholas is from Canada. You remember he sent in the maple syrup.
Pancake day tomorrow.
Oh, very good. Are you bringing him in, Phil, before you go on your holidays or what?
I wouldn't have thought so.
Thanks.
Bad times.
Move on.
Nicholas says he's not used to the level of secrecy in rugby league compared to the sports he knows in North America. Too often they give the impression that they're making it up as they go along. I don't want people to ask too many questions that might not be the reality, but it's the impression.
No, Nicholas, I think you've got it bang on the nail.
Bang on the head. There's never been a time, probably in rugby league, there's less coverage in the mainstream newspapers or whatever, but there's never been more people probably accredited by the RFL to cover rugby league games, all of which probably just turned up at that event last week to get free stuff, as I stick by that assumption. So while Gary Hetherington was wrong in what he said, if he'd have said there's just a load of freeloaders wanting free hats, then he would have been, pretty much correct on that assumption.
Gary didn't get one, did we?
I was there working.
Well, Phil brought us into the studio, so...
You stole it, didn't you?
No, it's in my car now. I didn't steal it.
Good. I was there working. I need some work.
I
saw him last
time. Maple syrup.
But, it's... if he'd have just named the people or referred to the people, then we wouldn't all be...
It shows his level of frustration. And some of that is justified. It is frustrating to be following the sport at the moment, but you've hit the wrong people.
It's been frustrating for a lot of people in the game watching him perceive running the sport. Yeah? Fair enough.
And that is
maybe the worm is turning.
One of the things that is happening now is that axis has been broken. And some powerful people in the sport that perhaps felt as though too much was being heard in certain ears at certain times and now got their wish to have more of a say in how the game is run. What they need to do is be open and transparent. And the problem is when you have people like Ian Lenigan going over to Australia and giving his vision of how he thinks the sport should be, when it's known that he's in the vanguard of change, it's another mixed message.
But is that, though, is that not... Are we almost like in an election style? Are we getting that way where Lenigan wants to get his manifesto out there?
But he won't implement it when he gets in.
Come on.
Dave is a Leeds fan.
They're all Leeds fans.
Almost Trump-esque in its ridiculous Gary Hetherington's meltdown. Mm-hmm. We are going to be banned from Leeds.
You see, also as well, the game moving forward, and as I say, I don't think there's a lot of love lost between Mr. Lenigan and Mr. Hetherington, and maybe a couple more chief executive chairmen. So, but how are we going to get... Because at the end of the day, we're all going to be thinking about what is the good for the game of rugby league. Is that right, Phil?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but how are we going to get that way? How are we going to move it forward when The ideas from Lenigan, and as I say, Harrington won't agree. You mentioned three people against Lenigan from there. So how are we going to come to the so-called decisions, the big ones for the greatest game of all, if these people are not prepared to agree and move the game forward?
I think there is a comparison here between the Premiership breakaway in football.
Mm.
And that was the top five or six clubs acknowledged by everybody else in the game saying the game needs to move in a certain direction. And the clubs beneath them said, whichever way you go, we've got to follow, because if we don't play you, then, you know, we're marginalised and probably can't continue. And it's true in every sport, whether you like it or not. So, you know, whatever Leeds and Wigan and Warrington and Hull and St Helens are looking at for the future of the sport, that's the direction the sport will tend to go in. The problem is, if you don't have agreement amongst those four or five clubs or six clubs, whoever is at that party, then the game can't move forward.
Well, that's the point I'm making. The big clubs, they'll be battling and arguing against each other. The little clubs, and I say no disrespect to the say where they won't be in the bargaining power of Cass and Wakefield and maybe Widnes, as you mentioned, they will have to follow suit. But the big five or the big six, it'll be them who can't agree within themselves. So how can the game move forward?
Well, I think it will.
When you've got two of the big powers at B, Harrington and Lenigan,
because the one thing that trumps all of that and why people do get round the table and talk, and why even Wigan and Hull have just been to Australia, is money.
Yeah, we understand that.
And there will be a time where you have to agree something for the money to still keep coming in, and not least a new television deal.
Is Adam Pearson in Lenigan's pocket?
No, I think both Adam and Ian have got backgrounds in football, so they've seen how it can work in a different sporting sphere. And I think they want to bring some things that they've seen in another sport into the professionalism of rugby league. Adam's been saying all along there's some big changes coming up, and I think he's confident that the sport will start batting above its weight even more with some of the things that they're discussing. But what he can't say at the moment, I think because of something of confidentiality, but it's that, why has the whole Hearn debate become a debate?
But again,
because nobody really is saying we would or we wouldn't be prepared to even go and talk. There's all the secrecy around.
Well, exactly.
We may have talked to them, but we may not have talked to them. We've talked to them about something, but we haven't talked to them about something else. Just be honest.
Yeah.
Just tell us where we're going.
Exactly. Yeah.
We are sportingly desperate to take any scraps we can from the media table, but there you go. David says, Mark, you're right, the owners are lobbying against each other like cabinet ministers. Tom says, while this sort of news and chat is welcome because it's topical, isn't it such a shame that every week we are talking and listening about more political farce in rugby league? If only Alan Bastard was around to run the sport.
Well, I'll tell you what, to all the listeners out there, when it does get decided, whether it's going to be in February or March or April or May, whatever, when it does get decided, there is going to be absolute uproar, there's going to be outcry, and I say, because it won't be for the best of the rugby league. The big boys will get bigger, the big boys will get richer, and as I said, as I mentioned, the clubs in the Championship and Division 1 from there, I'm afraid to say it could be, well, you're going to have to fend for yourself, which is totally wrong, and I say all we want is open honesty, but we ain't going to get it, and there's going to be absolute chaos when it does get announced.
And he's a bit harsh. He says Phil would defend a mass murderer. At least Scotty says it like it is. Time Phil got off the fence and picked a side.
Oh, it's mass harsh. Harsh.
What side?
Don't know.
The worst side he's on. I thought we were just defensive.
Mm. Chris says he's out of order. And he asks, when are we going to be on TV? Everyone's on TV, he says. We're being different. Yeah. There's 3.2 billion people in the world who can get the internet. We're catering to them rather than the four people who can watch a channel no one cares about.
There you go. You all right? Have you got it out of your system now?
Martin says, calm down. Premier League ruined football. A breakaway in rugby league would have even more dire consequences for the rest outside the top. Back of it.
Why did it ruin football? I'm not saying it didn't. No. I'm asking you, why did it? You know, that's a sweeping statement to make. Ruin football? Don't think it did. If you're a Huddersfield Town fan, you're getting football cheap and watching them in the Premier League. Club's got loads of money. What's wrong with that?
Huddersfield provided the highlight of the weekend in the Premier League yesterday.
Mm.
Not on the pitch, though. Ian says, something less controversial. We should talk about rugby. Big rap for Scott Taylor, who fell ill on Friday night and played on Saturday and was Hull's biggest meter maker, then found out he had a ruptured appendix. How is that even possible?
Now, I've had my appendix out, and when I had appendicitis, I mean, I was only young when I had it, but the pain was crippling. Yeah.
I have absolutely no idea how he's played. Yeah. Absolutely no idea.
Last week it's Patrick Arvan scoring a try with a broken arm. This week it's Scott Taylor.
Aren't these the stories that we should be talking about ahead of politics? And one of the reasons we even mentioned the Hearns was they want to make stars of people. There's two heroic stories this weekend. Add in Paul McShane making 65 tackles in 80 minutes.
Phil, how do you make 65 tackles in a game? Can you answer, can you answer that?
Astonishing.
He got cracked in the face as well, McShane, yesterday.
Well, what did Robbie? He made 61. How do you make
what's 60... that season's worth for you, innit?
Career's season's worth. Career's worth, I'm telling you, honestly.
It's a job.
65 tackles in a game.
Why aren't these people superstars? Never mind the chief executives.
But also, when you look at that, 65 tackles, then most of the time he's got to get to the dummy half and pass the ball. So he's not only just tackling, he's moving his body around, he's bending his back, he's passing, moving his arms. You know, 65 tackles.
And I'm sure that one of the reasons Hull were less effective throughout their game was because they lost Danny Howard.
But also, as well, like, when you look at that player, you know, and the lads after the game, you know, the drinking Gatorade, and Lucas said, surely they deserve a gallon.
Well, they've got next week off, haven't they?
The hard work what they're doing, they deserve a couple of gallons, never mind a gallon.
I think Gary's got confused. He's watched Sky too much. He thinks there's machines who are playing rugby league, not men. That's them robots. They're not real. Machines need to be well oiled. Mm-hmm. Watching Sky's day was a different kind of oil they used than Lucas Ayling out of it and whatever.
No, good. We will talk about what happened on the field. But obviously, this is dominating, you know, social media, so we've got to go with it.
Maybe they would have a better grasp of the facts, says Nicola. If they were presented to them transparently and things continue, and things confirmed or denied officially, instead of allowing the merry-go-round of rumours to continue.
Also as well then, Phil, because you know Gary very well, and you know we all know what purpose he serves, certainly in the game and also to at Leeds Rugby League. So if Mr Lenigan had a saying he's got a couple more chairmen in his back pockets, and he said, right, OK then, 2020, we're taking a full Super League fixture list to Australia. Would he get away with that
if the money's right?
If he's got 9 of the 12 chairmen supporting him, yes. So that's how Wigan and Hull have got to. He's made absolutely no doubt of the fact that the reason this fixture this weekend went ahead, which I think has been a success, however,
financial wise,
and profile wise, and the number of people that turned up, and the money that's been spent in the local economy, which is effectively bankrolled. I think everything you would look at, television audience, even over here on a Saturday morning, have all been good. He quite clearly has said to the press over there that this would not have happened under the days of a committee in Redhall. It's the clubs themselves that have sanctioned this game. Well, it might only be 9 of the 12 clubs that have sanctioned it, but if they've got a 75% majority, they can change things.
Fair enough. I was critical about the Wigan thing going down under, but they've obviously made a lot of money out of it. Rumoured to be
£500,000 for each club.
I'll tell you what.
But what will the cost be, Gary, though? And, all right, they've had the friendly, the game, sorry, and any injuries there they could have picked up at Hull or at Wigan, that's irrelevant. But the fact now that Hull have got to play another game next week.
Yeah. Well, Hull will play that game like, you know, you want only they do it, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what. I'd love to be in the first meeting with Lenigan and Gary Emmington. I'd love to be in the fly on the wall regarding the discussions, because I would imagine them two are absolutely miles away in the direction where the game wants to go.
Well, let's hope that whoever is chairing that meeting, which I'm reliably informed will be Brian Barwick, is a strong character.
Brian Barwick?
Yes, he's still the chairman of the...
What does he do again?
So Brian Barwick's going to be chairing the meeting when...
And I think there's going to be more regular meetings.
It's laughable.
More regular meetings. More regular meetings.
Why?
Which is good that the clubs are talking to each other.
For what purpose?
We need to know what the plan is. We've said this for how many years? We strategically need to know what the plan is for the sport.
Might get us more money from our broadcast partners.
Do we all think that the exercise in Wollongong was a success? How would you judge it?
The game itself?
The game is still, it's week two in Super League. Every game we've seen this week will not go down as a classic because it's week two and they've had to also travel 12,000 miles to play it. But do we think, as staging it as an event, that the idea behind it has been justified? I think it has.
I'm going to say no. I think they've got the money. Great. That's all they're bothered about. has it? I mean, I turn on the TV and you're looking around the stands here, there are a lot of Wigan and Hull fans there. Well, I didn't see a lot of other fans there. No, a lot of the stands were empty.
The reports we've had back are that there were just over 7,000 locals and about 5,000 that travelled out there or were exiled. They wanted 10,000, they got 12,500. So I think it's been deemed in the area to be... The league's club at Wollongong...
Well, all that matters...
You couldn't get in by
all
5
that matters to Hull and Wigan... And the people that have paid them is that the people that have paid them that are happy. Because if they are, then there's every chance they'll be going back. But I would like to think that we're going to get someone else going next time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or maybe a double, you know, take a double header, like you said, I don't know.
The thing is, a lot of people are talking about it. And the one thing that the sport needs is profile. So I think even over here, a lot of the journalists were filing reports on the impression that they've got. However, your KPI, on monetary. They hit every target.
Yeah.
On crowd, they slightly exceeded what they were hoping for. On media profile over there, the NRL.com, who put out a lot of the media for Australia, they featured it very heavily. The local press went massive on it. The press over here reported on it, even though it was being played 12,000 miles away. I think, you know, hats off to the people that decided they were going to do that, which is predominantly Ian Lennigan. He got it right.
Yeah, and I think as well, credit to the clubs, because they were very accessible. We've seen a lot of social media stuff. They've been in schools doing trainings.
Absolutely.
Anyway, let's go on about the game anyway itself. Wigan's point of view, I thought for 40 minutes they were pretty good. And George Williams, you know, he was a man of the match for me. He was head and shoulders. And I would imagine just a town reminder to Wayne Bennett, well, if you'd have played me, this is the way I can play if I'm allowed to express myself a little bit. So, yeah, and that combination with him and O'Loughlin and Fowle on the left-hand side was pretty impressive for 40 minutes. I thought Wigan showed glimpses of what they want to do. I thought the fullback, Escari, yeah, when he came on there, Tompkins going to halfback. So a good positive sign. Wigan won't fit for sure after that performance. They'll be making the top four. They won't be outside the top four for mine. Mm-hmm. And then I say,
they started well, mate. They started
well. Yeah, Wigan have been very impressive. They'll be making the top four. They won't be out of it. And for Hull, yeah, the forwards did the business again. But again, if anybody comes on to me again regarding the Mark Snead scenario, that again, even Tony...
Oh, someone has, bear with me.
Hold on, bear with us.
Even...
Let me find the message. It was Caroline who messaged us earlier. I got in there before you even mentioned it. Before the legend gets his big stick out, can I just say Mark Snead was playing behind an injured, depleted pack and no halfback. Not even him.
Could do much under those circumstances.
I do love the legend, generally, though, smiley face. On the Australia tour, we've made money, connections and sponsors. Yes, we've got injuries, but they could have easily happened in Pyland, which is true.
Yeah, that's fine. But then next week, when you get your backsides whooped again, we'll see what you think of
those
injuries.
Yeah, so the whole performance, yeah, the forwards did the job from there. But even Tony Ray picked up on it, yeah.
Is he not very good, Tony Ray?
No, hold on. People, including yourself, you're too harsh on Mark Snead. You're too harsh on... Well, listen, just listen to what Johnny Whiteley says about Mark Snead. But anyway, yeah, I'll agree. What was the name? Caroline.
You're hiding behind Johnny Whiteley.
I'm not hiding behind Johnny Whiteley. Not a chance. I'm just going to say again here now. So what's her name? Caroline, was it? Yeah, Caroline. I'll agree with you, yeah. Behind the beaten pack, it's very much hard work for the halfbacks, right? But even, because I play behind the rubbish pack at time at Leeds, I can reassure you, but I still wanted involvement. I still wanted to try and do something. Even Albert Kelly was useless at the weekend. But Mark Snead literally just wasn't interested at all. And so, you know, the black and whites, with the forward pack and what they have got, and if they don't change that style of play from there, they're not making the top four. Connor looks totally out of sorts. Shaw did as well, because Hull had no shape whatsoever. When they got themselves in half-decent field position, the two half-backs just didn't want any involvement whatsoever. Absolutely clueless. So if anybody else, after that performance on Saturday... And let's not forget, you know, we're going to a decent side from there, and when you're looking for a bit of leadership, if anybody else says to me again, I'm too harsh on Mark Snead, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you.
Is that a threat?
Like Gary
Etherington
to
the journalists.
Yeah, honestly. Eh? Because absolutely clueless. What? And Albert Kelly didn't help him. If he was looking to put himself in the shop window to get an NRL contract, you know what I would be doing, Mark Wilson, Richard Shawright and Phil Kaplan? I would be knocking on Adam Pearce's door and saying, Adam, please, offer me a contract, I'll get it signed, because he will not get a contract in the NRL on that performance. If that's put yourself in the short window, I'll tell you what, I'm putting myself in tomorrow.
Look, Wigan were very intelligent to target the left-hand side when Farima went off. Marshall is a fantastic finisher, but twice they did really well to get him on the outside. Little bit.
Gary, stop breathing in the thing, mate. I like you, but not that much.
A little bit worried from a Wigan point of view that they butchered three scoring chances before Abdul picked up his try at the end of the first half. And the two tries Wigan scored in the second half were barge overs. They didn't create, but very solid defensively, and looked like they could move the ball around. But I would have thought with Hull having such a lack of resource out there towards the end that Wigan would have actually scored more points. And it was to Hull's credit that they stayed in the game for so long. The biff at the end won't have done any harm either. Two players getting sin-binned for a bit of push and shove. I think the Aussies responded to that. So, yeah.
So what do you reckon to Sneed and Kelly's performance?
I was really surprised Kelly didn't take on the line more. If he was serious at the beginning of the season when he said he was looking for a contract in the NRL, and Hull are saying that may as well have been slightly misreported, he didn't actually say that.
He might have already signed one, or agreed one for all we know.
I can only remember him taking the line on once, where he made a half break and got through. And I get the point, Caroline's point, it's very, very hard for a half-back to operate when they're not going forward, but that was a time you needed a kicking game. You needed to be playing on Wigan's line more often because you knew that you didn't have the players to come on. And there wasn't even a great kicking game from Mark Snead, which is his strength.
What, I mean, at the start of the season, I had both of those two to finish outside the four. Obviously, the way Wigan have started, I'm thinking, well, they're looking pretty good. I'm quite happy with my whole assessment. I just think that they're all right, you know. I mean, for years we jokingly called them dull FC. I'm still of that. Like, you take Kelly out, I'm not sure what's there.
The real worry for them is it looks as though Danny Hunt was gone for 2 months.
Mm. What's he done? Knee?
Torn a calf.
Close to his calf, has he?
They said, yeah. So I just.
And he is so important to them.
I think, again, it was evident. You know, we all know what Gareth Ellis brought to the side, but it was very much evidence in there when they were looking for a leader, when they were looking for that warrior. It wasn't there. They were all looking around saying, who's taking charge here? Mm. Where's the shape gone? There was no leader there. There's nobody taking charge. And this is what I'm saying. All right, the halfbacks might have been getting beaten because the forwards weren't realistically making the hard yards. But you've got to have someone to step up. And in Snead and Kelly, they aren't going to do that for him. Hull aren't making the top four.
Are you going early?
I'm going early.
Did you have him in the four?
I had him fourth.
Yeah, they're going to win the Challenge Cup, though.
Yes. Yeah. Because he wants some stuff off Radders, probably.
Jake Connor's an interesting one because he's clearly.
I'll be getting a crack off Radders when he hears this.
Yeah, good job, he's 12,000 miles away.
I'll be getting a crack off him.
Do they get us in Australia? Can I get us? I don't know.
Worldwide, this show. Worldwide.
Listen to this, Luke.
Cheers, Phil.
Well, he's going next week. He'll see him.
I'll take him. I'll
throw you under the bus.
Do you want us to type it up? Do you want us to type up the transcript?
Tell you what, even better, take me on the flight with you on Wednesday. I'll go out there and just say, look here.
Sorry, you're busy. You can't. You're busy.
But Jake Connor's an interesting one because he has the talent and he's a bit of an X-factor player. He can break games that are a bit sterile, but he was arguing with Jamie Shaw when they knocked on a ball together.
You could see the frustration in Phil. I reckon Jake Connor wants to play halfback. And that's when Hull got the best out. That's when Hull got the best out of him, and got the best of Albert Kelly with him too, with the halfback partners. He ain't going to drop Snead. We know that. I don't know why he don't drop him at times, to be honest with you, because he does need a kick up the backside at times. And even Hull fans say to me, "Scoy, ripping at Snead because he's being rubbish, and you'll get a response."
Here's what I mean?
So
what about Snead at hooker for the next 2 months?
So
you can have Kelly and Connor.
I'll buy into that. Without a doubt, because at times
he won't do the defence.
I'm going to say, is he going to do your 65 tackles?
But nobody else is.
Get your marquee money, right, because a player's just come available today on the market. Not Todd Carney, who's off the Hull KR, apparently. Get your money out. Danny Cipriani, bring him in. He's got.
Can he play hooker?
I don't know, but he's not got any vision awareness. Yeah,
he ran into a bus once.
Yeah, he ran into a bus in Leeds.
Who's that?
Danny Cipriani, the former England international. Yeah.
He's leaving the Wasps.
Oh, they fly off? Yeah. Oh, yeah, but he'd have a few sherbets, haven't he?
Well, there you go, perfect then. Get him in.
You have to get plain drunk, Gary?
We tried that load of time coming out of Stockton Town Hotel. We were sidestepping buses.
I mean, you had vision awareness, Ethan. That's the problem.
A lot of people...
Carl, let's come back on. Had to come back and say the legend spoke much sense, thank you. Please say hi to my husband, Steve, the Wakefield fan, who's working in Italy.
Oh,
hello,
Steve.
Hi, Steve. Yeah. Hi, Steve.
In Italy.
Yeah. Steve, yeah.
People keep asking us about Zach Hardacre.
Yes.
One, we don't know if he's going to Wigan. B, we don't know what's happening with his ban. We still don't
I've asked the question. I have yet to receive an... I was told last week that the ban hadn't been... That there was no outcome.
And there's still
ban because they're talking like he's guilty. We don't know.
But also, but what about the rumour? What is pretty strong about signing for Wigan? Has he signed for Wigan? Is that a strong rumour?
I think if I'd have been told, I probably would have told you before now, Gary, if I'm honest.
Well, you're a bit like
you know, I might let that slip.
You like a bit of secretive yourself, don't you? Sometimes, you know what I mean?
They've got Morgan Escarry, right? Yeah, he's quite good.
Wigan don't need that. They've got
Sam Tompkins.
Depends. You're making an assumption that Cass won't rid of him. How do we know? We don't know. It is just.
It's like any rugby league. We don't know what's going on. We don't know.
We don't want any more baseball journalism, do we? So we can't say, sadly.
What Gary Hetherington's done is open Pandora's box.
People will be saying this is a piss poor show, won't they? You know what I mean? Get him off then. Get him off.
Now we don't need
Gary Hetherington to say that for that.
I think they'd work that one out.
You just got to remember that we can say this here, but not elsewhere.
Yeah. Don't be saying it on it, you know.
We're saying Ofcom. Yeah. Oh, no. We're not interested in what you think.
We're only quoting what has been said about us.
Exactly. If we were Radio 4, we'd be able to say all the bad words, because they can justify it, but we haven't got the intelligence
we
to do
it.
We
put it in speech marks. Yeah. It's fine.
But anyway, okay. Wigan, yes, play very well. Hull, disappointing.
I think there's still work to do for Wigan. They didn't look as fluent on attack. The defence is a very Wigan defence, and that's really what let them down last year, that they conceded too many points for a Wigan team. It looks like they've got that back. I was just surprised that there was that, I think it was around about the half an hour mark, where they had three shots at the whole line and all it took was the right pass selection.
Yeah.
And each time they got it wrong.
I think as well, they're not one thing for sure, and Sean will be happy at this, that they're not missing McAlorum, as far as I can see.
No.
So, good smart move by
Wigan. Well, it's two games in, guys. It's two games in. A lot can change.
You know what you three would be saying? Well, it's only 22 games in. So, you know, they're still trying to find some consistency.
It wasn't a factor. Well, it was a factor for the weather has been a big issue this week.
Yes, right, yes.
The game over there in Australia.
Right, let me get in now. I want to come back on that comment. Only two games in. I'll tell you what, Steve Price won't be after two games in. And let me just tell you this about the Warrington players. Them Warrington players, right? They got exactly what they wanted last year by getting Tony Smith the sack. Well, right, the new Warrington players. Too many egos in that dressing room. Too many who talk the talk but don't walk the walk. And let me just say to you, Warrington players, the prima donna's what you are. The way you're going to go, you're going to get the coach the sack again in Steve Price. And the efforts what I saw at times against Huddersfield, take nothing away from Huddersfield, they played very well. But then Warrington players, and Matty Russell, trying to pick that ball up, or maybe just trying, showing a bit of effort to put the ball down, or dead ball. I'll tell you what, I've got two grandsons. Well, I've got three grandkids. Olivia, who's seven next, my grandson Isaac, who's five. But I have one called Reuben. He's only 16 months. He would have been more energetic, more enthusiasm, well, that Matty Russell would have been. So you Warrington players, it's simple here. Keep doing as you're doing, you're in the bottom four. Keep doing as you're doing, you're getting the cork sack in Steve Price. And also as well, when I mention all the egos that are in that dressing room, you're not prepared to put your body on the line. You're not prepared to put your head where it wants to go. When I was there last week, take the example of Jamie Jones and Kyle Ablett and Delaney and Cuthbertson. They were putting the bodies on the line. Too many egos, too many prima donnas. Simon Moran giving you everything what he wants. The coaching staff will be giving you everything what he wants. Your physios, your dietitians, your sports psychologists if you need sports psychologists. But one thing for sure, you Warrington players, you're going to get the coach the sack. So, instead of talking the talk, walk the walk. And by the way, Huddersfield played well. Deserved the victory.
We were a bit worried about Huddersfield, weren't we, after week one? But big win. Worrying times for the Warrington Wolves, I think. They've got Widnes this week. Now, I've watched Widnes opening two rounds of the season. I think Widnes will beat them.
Well, exactly, man. But I say, you don't think I've been too harsh there in Warrington, do you?
Would it matter if we did?
Well, I'm only giving an open assumption there. And
It's difficult, having not been at the game and only seen a couple of highlights, to pass too much of a judgment. I would say they seem to be making a lot of mistakes at the moment, which has been uncharacteristic.
Did you see that effort or not effort from Matty Russell?
Yeah, and I saw a couple of errors from Stephen Ratchford again this week on the back of a couple that he'd made the week before. But the worry, if I was a Warrington fan, would be confidence, because I think they had such a shocking year last year that they doubted everything.
Phil, that performance last week had nothing to do with confidence.
Well, I think if they don't start getting a win soon, all of those doubts will come back again.
I think they've got to witness them Wigan, haven't they?
Yeah, Wigan play Wigan them when they come back from Australia. Yeah.
So
yeah.
If they
could
don't
be
win
from fourth,
if Friday, if they were 0-4, then there is
fellas,
the start of a crisis.
You say, well, it's only four games into the season.
No.
I'm telling you,
that's nearly 20% nearly of the regular season.
There's only four teams that haven't picked up a point so far. Catalan were much improved in week two.
They were in week one.
You can see Steve McNamara's got something to build on. Hull KR, much better in week two than they were in week one. Tim Sheens actually came out and said, we're much in advance of where we were even last year, never mind last week. Salford should have really beaten Wakefield. Sorry, Richard, but
they
scored three tries to two. And you know, again, where they were in the first week to where they were in the second week, you say the one thing that Ian Watson's got is a real spirited team there. You look at Warrington, they didn't improve in week two. In fact, they probably got slightly worse. That would be my worry.
I think that's a fair point. Right, Rich, what's happening?
One, I don't know why Nigel listens to this programme. Yeah. Just don't listen, Nigel. I wasn't having a go at the BBC. I was just saying on Radio 4 you can say all the swear words.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Because they justify it because they're clever. We're not clever.
No.
If you want me to have a go at the BBC, I will.
Piss poor, to be fair.
I will have a go at them, I'll tell
Get
you.
Phil getting ripped in.
I'll have a go at all the rugby league media if you want me to. But
you know it'll come out, Phil, that we're not allowed to say it anymore. Yeah. You will all get sacked. We'll all be sacked tomorrow.
Next week, nothing. Four empty seats.
Well, let's say Radio 4. I mean, no, don't do that.
Nothing to do with Rugby League on there. Not Gary Richardson.
Come on, anyway, let's move on.
On the Super League in Australia, Sid, who I believe is a Hull KR fan, says he's taking the Super League game to Australia. It was a complete waste of time and money. They have their own superior competition. It will be the same as Accrington, Stanley and crew travelling to Spain to play a League Two game in Barcelona.
Yeah.
But they would if they made £500,000 each year.
Exactly right.
If it's a success, and we say this every year after Magic Weekend, we say, Magic Weekend's been great, announce we're going back next year. We don't have to announce the team because we don't know who's going, but just say we're going back.
I think we need to know what the concept is. Is the idea to take Super League on the road to generate income? It doesn't have to be Wollongong, it doesn't have to be the same teams, but let's map out over the next few years what the plan
is. Have we not been saying this for a while?
Yeah. And one of the other rumours, which, you know, we again must acknowledge.
Phil,
the fact
don't be
that
making
this
speculation. Don't be making speculation, you journalists.
I know.
Yeah. If you don't know the facts, don't be saying it, Phil Kaplan.
Well, it'd be a quiet programme. It looks as though England will be playing New Zealand in Denver on June the 23rd.
I'll buy into that any day of the week, International Rugby League.
There is a plan that.
Are we going?
I think,
are we covering it?
No. Probably from a studio.
Well, there is a plan that on the 24th, which is still that international window weekend, that New York, the bidders from New York, want to put a game on to showcase whatever it is they're offering to the sport. I'm not sure it's the game that necessarily has been rumoured that it will be. But there has been discussions. There's absolutely no doubt that there have been discussions with Catalan and initially with Salford to move a game from March into that June slot, so that people can watch the test match in Denver on one day and perhaps go to New York and watch a club game, or at least because there is awareness of one game, there'll be a knock-on effect from the other. Now, if that's going to happen, and if that's part of Wigan and Hull playing in Wollongong this week, great. Let's tell us about it. Let's say, and the year after that, the plan would be to go to Bogota, and ideally, you know, that will be in the June window as well. But we don't. All we know is there's been two teams have gone out and made some money, and they're coming back.
Do you know what? Do we think rugby league would be massive in Japan? Because rugby union,
their World Cups,
the All Blacks and
the Aussies
take there. Australia play Japan there. Do we think rugby league? You know, because obviously they like the physicality and they get stacks and stacks of fans. Would rugby league kick off in Japan?
Have we missed the boat? Have they beaten us to it?
There was a Japanese team that Tony Smith coached around about 2000. He gave that up to...
That was only to get his visa so he could take the Huddersfield job. Wasn't it? That's not speculation. It was true.
Cynic.
But he's British.
Yeah. You should have gone to Japan. Just think how well you'd have done in Japan.
Hey, because you were better than Tony Smith or Huddersfield.
I told you about the stats.
I'm telling you,
don't want to go by them. Don't want to go by them again.
America is the massive. America is the massive boat we can get on still, because there is that gap between the NFL finishing and the NFL starting again. Where there's all that time where the Americans would quite like to watch some kind of physical action, and we can get in on that.
Well, so Japan and the Chinese, they love it, don't they? You know, why not go there?
No language barrier though in America. Well, not in some areas.
It's about believing in your product and having
Phil, we've got a great product,
and
we know
having
that,
the ability to sell it. But you're too young to remember. Gary, remember Wigan played Warrington in Milwaukee, 1989. Deliberately staged that there would be more fighting in that than
I've
a normal
seen it
league game.
But John Aldworth, the ref,
I've
seen it.
Yeah, it was just
1987, the fourth Origin game was played at Long Beach in California. 10 years ago, almost to last week, Leeds played South Sydney in Jacksonville in front of 12,500 fans. That stadium was sold out. Not only that, we talk about celebrity endorsement. Russell Crowe turned up with Greg Norman and Angelo Dundee. What have we done?
Yeah, I agree. Right, lots going
Greg
on.
Greg Norman. Darren says, in an obvious message to the programme, Scoey in Japan would be okay in sumo. Paul says the exact same joke. Bit harsh, we say. They're all different sizes, sumo wrestlers.
Listen, lads, we're trying to be serious on this show. Promoting the greatest game of all. We know we've got a great product.
We've made a pack that 2 minutes a week.
Hey?
When the news is on.
Mark says, sometimes I don't know what Scoey is saying, so the Japanese will be okay.
You're getting hammered here, legend, aren't you?
We're on about taking the sport, the product, on the road. Promoting the game. Come on, please.
But it's long-term planning. Look, I'm with you, like, you know, you can't tell me that the NFL already are not planning who's coming here in future years. They will be having talks, they'll be trying to sweeten things. What would it take to get you to go? What can we do to help you to do this?
One of the issues is promotion relegation, because you don't know which teams are going to start in which season. And the NFL have it, you know, they could say now who is going to be playing in 4 years' time.
Yeah.
But they have a franchise system. People just pick up a franchise and move it somewhere else. But it doesn't stop them planning what they want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we need to do. We don't need to say...
Involves having a plan.
Castleford are going to be playing Wakefield in Botswana in 4 years' time. You don't have to say who the team are. You just need to say this is what we've mapped out for the sport.
Exactly. Agreed.
I want to ask Gemma Carter, because she's mentioned you. Are you looking forward to Salford versus Catalans if it is in New York? Are you going? You're a Salford fan.
Is it part of me who thinks it's actually irrelevant who goes?
They don't know, do they? They don't know who's good and who's bad.
One of the things that really worked this weekend, and I can't pay enough credit to them, are the Hull and Wigan fans that at relatively short notice found the money to go on a holiday of a lifetime and really made that. There was talk of the Leagues Club was sold out at Illawarra. It was one in, one out by 5 o'clock in the afternoon. But the staff were absolutely knocked out by the singing of all the fans. The atmosphere that they created. So I think it does matter. I think you need to take recognisable brands, if you like, and you need to take teams that have got sufficient amount of support that will go and back up the event alongside the locals.
Tell you what, I just want to say, because Gemma's been on Salford fan. I tell you what, Salford were unlucky, weren't they, on Friday? And, you know, Chris himself has said that, yeah, we got out of jail from there. All right, took.
I must thank David Fafita at this point. I had Wakefield minus four.
Yeah.
And they're winning by six. Stood right in front of the post, ready to take a drop goal, and Big Dave gives away a penalty. And then they go up the other end and concede. Mm. So thanks, Dave Fafita, if you're listening.
I think you have to say cult hero.
I'll call him somewhat similar, I'll tell you. I told Kermit I'll have a word with him. I'm sure he'll listen.
Stuck one.
Look,
he's looking trim these days, he's Big Dave.
Yeah, he's not as big.
Slightly less Big Dave.
Yeah. Just as
daft.
I thought it was carrying a bit of timber like Big Murdoch. That's my excuse.
Camerads on £10, we must have 10 extra cameras.
A bit harsh. Anyway, Salford, they were pretty good, and certainly. Against Wigan for half an hour, they're okay. But against Wakefield, in that sort of form, they keep the players on. They may not be the bottom four. But Wakefield, again, found a way to win. That's aside what they've got now. But I must say, Wakefield fans, please. Michael Carter is giving you what you want. Chris Chester is giving you what you want. You've got a quality rugby league side there. You've got quality players. Chester's even mentioned two players, maybe for England, Nick Johnson and Matty Ashurst. He's not wrong from there. Wakefield fans, where were you Friday night? 4,200? Do me a favour.
It's
what
cold.
Do you want?
It's cold.
What do you want? I'm not buying into the scenario. It's cold. The beer's rubbish. All this is rubbish. No way, man. It's what's on that turf. It's what's on that turf, and the chairman and Chris Chester and the players are giving you what you want. And 4,200, pathetic, absolutely pathetic. So get out there now and support your side. Simple
and
as.
And they're playing a fabulous brand of rugby.
They are, they're playing great rugby league. Sorry
not,
about
not,
for you
the
there,
second,
man.
Not
but
for the half
but no, come on, Wakefield fans. What more do you want? What more do you want? Tell me what you want. But and I'll tell Michael Carr what you want.
The ones there.
But Michael knows that. It's pathetic.
The ones there who were calling James Child on every decision when Salford were coming back into it.
Grow.
You
up.
Know what? You know what?
Just I have grow seen up. Live 6 games this season, right? And I have not once had a gripe with the referee.
Not mentioned the decision.
I think they've done well. There, let that go on public record. There you go.
Next week. Referees.
Yeah.
They're all rubbish. That's next week's
problem. No, seriously, I've gone away. I went yesterday. Couple of calls, you know, referee gave what he thought he'd seen.
Yeah,
Get on with it.
I think they've been all right. And the referee on Saturday as well, I thought his man management, his talking to the players were brilliant.
He's used to reffing with two refs as well. So.
But they were trying to get into his ear and he was just saying, Listen, lads, you know the rules. I thought, that's great man management. Yeah. That is absolute brilliant man management. What's his name?
Matt Chechen.
Yeah, Matt Chechen, yeah. Brilliant referee and man management.
Interesting to see if he gets the World Club Challenge.
Mm.
Sometimes people tweet in and make the point I have made. Thank you very much, Robert, for doing that.
Yeah.
Peter says, don't do it, legend. Beer in Japan's awful. So that's not off the list now.
If it's free, drink it. Diesel, Terps, Adelaide Spirits.
He's only back to those mushy peas in Japan. I've got to have peas on toast in Japan.
The big surprise so far this season is that Salford's mascot is still Dr. Devil.
Without the beard. And the moustache.
Because Gemma Carter says, if they played in New York, I'd be boarding the plane in a Dr. Devil costume. It would be proper mint. Is this a thing?
I'd love to see that.
What, Gemma Carter dressed
yes,
as Dr. Devil?
Absolutely.
Gemma,
are you sure?
There you go.
Are you sure, Phil?
I'd go just for that.
Are you sure, Phil?
Yeah.
Come on,
we're going on. Elsewhere, Andy says, on Radio 4 they mentioned the C word that doesn't get a look in on this show, and I'm thinking, hang on a minute. Championship. We always talk about the Championship. And we had lots of tweets and things at the start of the programme to talk about Barrow.
Yes.
David says
they got
Barrow
mentioned on the intro, for goodness sake.
Barrow drawing with
and
Toronto.
Featherston as well with Matt Campbell there. And yeah, great one as well against Toulouse there from Featherston.
Barrow drawing with Toronto.
Big game against London this weekend.
Result of the week. Graham doing a bit of multitasking. Got you on the phone watching Barrow Toronto on Free Sport. Nicola says, in the draw between Barrow and Toronto, should either of the sides have tried to kick a drop goal near the end, or were they right to keep trying to drive the ball in on the ground?
I'm pretty sure they couldn't have got the ball out of the mud from what I was
But what did they have to lose in the 79th minute?
Great result for your boys, Barrow there. Yeah. They're only three behind London now, legend. Only three.
This is the only league table that matters now, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not bothered about everyone else.
Well, London haven't played anybody. They've only played Barrow and Dewsbury. They haven't played anyone.
That includes your team.
Nil in Dewsbury is a fantastic effort.
Oh, Phil, do me a favour.
In those conditions, aren't it?
Do me a favour.
Anyway, we'll be sponsoring one of the Broncos. Anyway, this show will be sponsoring one of the Broncos. I've made an interest, you know, so we'll be...
What about a bit of sponsorship at the Cougars?
I told you, you asked me about Sunday. I can't do Sunday. I physically can't be there. Otherwise, I would have cut you. We will all come. You sort it out, and we will. I'll make sure we're all there.
Right.
We'll come. Free beer, free food, and we'll give you a tenner to get in.
And we can choose the man of the match.
No, we're going to be man of the match sponsor.
Give me man of the match.
What would you do if we actually gave you man of the match? Would you read it out?
Well, why not? Gosh, I would.
No, we'll let one in. We will come on a Sunday where it suits us all.
Table of eight for all the
table
lads.
Table of eight. There's only three of us.
Well, what about the rest of it? Speak Tom, I want to come, and other Tom.
You better ask him if he's got any money.
He'll be right, lads.
Andy's apologised. He missed the first 20 minutes of the show. Oh, it was wild. We swore and everything.
We did swear.
Unbelievable.
That probably was the best bit.
Yeah. It was like, you have to download the podcast now.
Is there no Warrington fans coming on?
I'll agree with you.
No, apart from Andy. Andy Bibby said they'll smash Widnes. Not on the Widnes I've seen.
Who says that?
Andy.
Right, Andy, just send a message. How do you think they're going to beat Widnes then? How do they think they're going to beat Widnes with the prima donnas and the egos in that dressing room?
Oh, apparently Chris Kendall was inept yesterday. You were there. Twice. He waved play on Casco, then pulled him back for a Cascrum, says Mick.
Look, there's always a couple of decisions where you go, no, you know, I saw one thing. You have it in commentary. Mm. I was with Paul Cook yesterday. I saw one. He went, oh, I thought we were all right. You know, just because we see something doesn't mean we're right and he's wrong. He is, after all, 80 yards nearer than us.
And you can't see half the game at Cass because of the window thing. More reasons why people didn't go to watch Wakefield. Probably because A, James Shaw was a referee. You remember this from a few years ago.
Why?
A long-time listener of the programme. B, Margaret was at the World Cup, so she was skint. Fair enough.
Fair dues.
We never say, if you can't afford to go, that's a legitimate excuse.
It is.
That is fine.
It is.
We never say,
would that be the James Shaw that refereed the grand final?
Yeah.
All right.
I've started now. People go, "Who's right?" I've no interest.
I don't think they should release it. I'm with Rob.
I'm not bothered. As long as it keeps on with play, I couldn't care less.
Don't tell us. They should wear masks.
We never used to know. We'd turn up at the ground, pick up the programme, and see who the ref was.
Masks and full body suits, so we don't know. I think the referee's kit looks smart this year, though.
And then the players look at the programme and go, "Got him."
Exactly.
Oh no,
Denise.
That's a bit like what they do when we tweet out who's on the comments. You go, "Oh, he's on again."
Here's one for you. You remember last year everyone's saying, "Oh, 8 o'clock. It's too late to kick off the rugby. It's 8 o'clock. Are we on? Denise says, 7:30. Too early. Oh, come on. Come on. We can't do anything here. Oh, no. Oh, dear. It's all gone.
Just
horrible,
don't bother with a referee. You will enjoy life a lot more if you stop mourning at referee. Get in touch with us on a Monday and get stuck into the legend. That's how you get it out.
Oh, thanks.
No problem. Didn't you know that's why you're here?
There's four of us in this studio.
Exactly. George says...
You're bigger than us. So, presumably the referee missed the two drop goals by Widnes at the end of the game, which determined the outcome, presumably.
And those goals...
Are you picking on Tom Gilmore for?
No, I'm just saying it.
Another good
Nothing
game
Nothing to do with the referee,
you know, all right.
So how lucky were Widnes, Matt? Because I reckon Widnes were unlucky. They should have won, shouldn't they? And how were Cass?
Defensively, Widnes was superb. Cass had a lot of ball, never looked like scoring, which is very un-Cass-like.
Who was the standoff then? Oh, Jamie Ellis, was it?
Yeah, he did all right. They lacked a bit of cohesion. They had no Greg Eden. And I think Jay Hitchcock, who's actually in, he's here tomorrow. Jay Hitchcock's with Ollie Holmes. They've got their own show now on a Tuesday night, them lads. 6 to 8. They'll be here with Danny Parkinson tomorrow, so make sure you tune into that. Jay missed a couple of chances, I think. Shenny gave him some ball and he overran it, underran it, wasn't quite there. And I'm sure, given a bit more working together, that had come back. But Widnes were brilliant defensively. They played it to a gale force win first half. Cass scored right on half time, breakaway try. Widnes came out, got in front. Cass then had a bit of a purple patch. Widnes came back at the end. A draw would have been a fair result for me. It very much yesterday had a feeling of it's not how you win, it's if you win. And Cass needed that win desperately, and they got it. But I think Dennis Betts will go away thinking, I'll tell you what, if we play like that every week, we're going to be there or thereabouts.
And the other thing for Widnes was they didn't have a hooker.
No, yeah, lost Lloyd White and Heremeyer on the
And the young kid who would have played, they've just loaned to London.
Yeah, in fairness, but I'll tell you what, Danny Walker played 80 minutes. You're going about McShane. I'm not saying he did 65 tackles, but he's only a slip of a lad, and he did really well. And they give a young winger his chance.
Yes,
Ollie Ashall-Bott on the wing, he played really well.
So I guess Cass themselves, and like Wakefield now, after last season, they realise now that they are the target. Everybody knows what good side they are. So, my reckoning is Wakefield and Cass every week to get the victory are going to have to play around about to about 85-90% of their best to get results.
Look, I think yesterday I saw Junior Moores a couple of times run in and try and do what put a sidestep on, and he just basically slid like an oil tanker. He couldn't stop. So that didn't help, but that doesn't take away from what Widnes did. They'll get better.
Interesting that Darrell's been saying again they're going to have to change some things this year, because exactly what you said, they're going to be targets, and it's going to take a while to adapt to that. The difference is that Cask managed to find a way to win, whereas because Warrington
you
didn't.
Think sitting on that for another 2 weeks had they not won yesterday, and everyone's going, they've gone.
Well, apparently I listened to your comment, it was quite quiet for a time there. It's almost as if like the whole stadium was going, Even at the end, when they went round,
there was no celebration.
Yeah.
It was mainly a thanks for turning out in the minus 15.
No sweet Caroline blatting out.
Yeah, they banged it out at the end, but there was no celebrating.
Yeah.
It was the fans just applauded. Sorry, the players applauded the fans for turning up. Widnes took a few as well yesterday. Good turnout.
How was Wellington Albert?
Not as effective as he was last week. Short stint, didn't come back on, I don't think.
Presumably not quite his condition, is it?
No, but he went well enough in week 1. He'll be alright.
I think he's going to be an asset. Right.
Chris Houston started this season well. I've watched him twice. Probably watching him again on Friday night as well. So they're alright, Widnes. I wrote them off.
Yeah.
If they can keep them fit,
It'll be an interesting game on Thursday.
If they can stay fit, they are a player to get
in. Widnes will beat Warrington.
If they beat Warrington on Thursday, that will be interesting.
It's Friday, isn't it? Yeah. The other one's Catalans at Hull KR.
Well, we're just going to move on to Wilkinson Rovers there, because we were there, Matt, weren't we? And they say Leeds, you know, all right, Leeds find a way to win. They know that, just, you know, too much quality from there. But Wilkinson Rovers, but yeah, rightly so what you say, Matt. They'll have the effort, they'll have the commitment, they'll have desire, but have they got the quality to, when it is an A boys, have they got enough quality?
Another day for me to get
the 2 points.
If they'd played the Dragons last week and played like that, they would have beaten them. In some ways, they might have beaten Cass playing like that. It's just sometimes who you play when you play.
But one player who impressed me for Wilkinson Rovers, and I hope they don't. But Young Atkin, I thought he played very well. He needs that opportunity there. He's got a great master that's selling him, Maguire, so he'll bring him on. So Wilkinson Rovers,
like,
please. Wilkinson Rovers, please. I mentioned journeymen last week who were in Super League. Now, we don't want another journeyman. There's been talking about signing Todd Carney. What did Todd Carney do at Salford? Absolutely nothing. It'll be rubbish for your dressing room. Atkins deserved the opportunity. He did enough to convince me that'll be an asset for there.
Nice so, tyre created for Quinlan, wasn't
absolutely,
it?
You know, and I say he's got Maguire outside him there, so he'll be learning at training. He'll get better with more game time. Hulk R, please. Don't sign the journeyman. Leave him where he belongs. That's in the Queensland Cup. And go with what you've got, because he won't let you down, Atkins. He would all right.
7 dropouts to nil, most from Atkins. From kicks by Atkin. He controlled the game. The guy who was magnificent for them was Rob Mulhern.
Unsung
hero. Just made a huge amount of ground, the most of anybody on the field. Led their tackles, played big minutes.
Yeah,
I think that's the other thing.
His former club, of course.
Well, and that's the other thing that Tim Sheen said, that they looked a very fit team, which as a coach is something that you'd want to see. The shame for them was that they couldn't create anything after 20 minutes. They came close on quite a few occasions at the beginning of the second half, but there was a drop in intensity on the hour.
Yeah, and there's also the fact they are playing one of the best defensive teams in our competition, if not the best.
And a team that has to have its defence in order if it's got any chance of winning this league.
I'll tell you what as well, looking at me now, Kynos, you know, for me, we mentioned it a few times, Matt, he should be in the 17 week in and week out. And I'll tell you what, if Leeds don't want him, by all accounts, his contract's up this season, I'm sure there'll be plenty knocking on his door,
Leeds,
because he's a quality player.
His contract is up at the end of the season.
But how
does he force his way in on a regular basis? Other than, how could you drop him after this week? Yeah. You give the kid a chance and he takes it in the manner
On a consistent basis, on a consistent basis, Kynos, what I've seen of him throughout the last, two or three years now, to be honest with you, consistently, he is better than Sutcliffe in the centre.
I think he is.
He is.
By the way, John's been on shouting at me. It's Houston, not Houston. You knew what I meant, though, didn't you, John? That's the main thing. Kynos, yeah, I mean, it's reported today, Leeds have already turned a bid down for him out of contract end of the season. I wouldn't have any problem if I were in charge of a Super League club bringing him into my club.
Because
I said it to Brian after, whenever you call upon him, he never lets you down.
Yeah. He's a bit like Matty Ashurst at Wakefield.
Yeah, he is.
When you see his name on the team sheet, you know exactly what you're going to get.
Yeah, you know exactly what you get. It says on the team what you're going to get. You're going to get 100% commitment and desire.
His finishing was excellent, though. It was up a lot.
I like him. He knows where the try line is.
But the guy playing outside him was sensational as well.
Oh, Ryan Hall. Yeah.
Started the season absolutely on fire.
Wilkinson Rovers, forget about the journeyman. Todd Carney's not good enough. Young Atkins good enough for you with Maguire.
They do need more players. Hull KR do need a bigger squad.
They don't want journeymen. They don't want journeymen.
Stop banging the desk.
Well, I get frustrated when, you know, the clubs want to give these players who could care less about the club, could care less about Super League, and bringing them over. Don't bring him. It'd be no good for the dressing room.
Would he play for Tim Sheens? He can play in a number of positions. Is he the sort of player that they just need to have on board while they stabilise themselves in the Super League?
Hey, listen, I could play for Tim Sheens, don't worry about that, and I'd bring something to the dressing room, honestly.
I'll ring him now.
Journeyman, we don't want him. Simple as that.
Go on then.
Danny Walker, not the journeyman. He made 51 tackles yesterday, says Con.
Fantastic.
18 years of age, played a full 80 minutes.
He was out on his feet, the lad, at the end, and you think...
Who's that?
That young kid that played at number nine yesterday for Widnes.
Doesn't that tell you about something about the coaching staff as well? Mm. And I don't know what is the missing ingredient at Warrington, but Widnes obviously have it. If they can get 51 tackles and 80 minutes out of a young kid playing
I'll tell you what Widnes have got, and all the teams, apart from Warrington, they've got a team that's full of egos, they've got a team full of players who realistically are talking the talk, but they're not prepared to walk the walk. It's as simple as that, and it's all evident. It's evident from there. And you make, you know, Stephen Rashford, boy, oh boy.
He's not a bad player.
We're not saying he's a bad player.
How does he turn his form around?
Well, we're not saying he's a bad player. Well, I'll tell you how you do it.
Put him on dual reg at South Wales Island.
Exactly, we know how you do it, mind. You got in the A-team, like that kid's either been hooked off, he'd have been in the A-team, get yourself a good iron up at Workington or the Boulevard or the old Norton Park, get yourself in there on the Thursday, freezing cold night, and you'll learn your harsh lessons. They don't get dropped.
Saints are doing that, aren't they? Matty Smith's been playing in the reserves.
Could he got a whole care?
Well, is he better than Atkin? No, he's not.
Yeah, but with the best one in the world, it's a long season.
Well, why do you want two players who are the same in Maguire and Matty Smith? The same style of players now. Danny's taking over the organisation role, taking over the kicking game. So you don't, you know, but that sort of player. No, Atkins brings something different.
I'm only asking the question.
I'm only giving you the right answer.
Okay.
So,
fair
no.
Enough. Thank you. Nice to discuss these things.
Absolutely.
You know.
And in the end, you'll agree what I say. And you look at Danny Richardson and say,
Brian Clough.
Yes.
We talk about it for 10 minutes, then we decide I was right. Yeah.
Oh, dear. George says, talk about the Challenge Cup and Batley Boys in the third round.
Brilliant.
Good luck to Batley Boys in the third round.
Two rounds run.
I know.
They've won it on a drop goal in extra time. Magnificent.
Yeah, it's a Challenge Cup tour. I want the Batley Boys at Cougars because my good mate George Davis is someplace for Batley Boys. And it's two golden points they've won.
Yeah.
Two golden points.
You are number 12 in the draw, legend.
We're number 12, are we? Yeah. So I want Batley Boys. My mate George, they'll bring plenty down to Cougar Park.
You want the Charmy away, I
you want the Bulls, don't you, really? Big money spinning tie.
I want you going to Aldershot and put through
what
your
about Kells away?
Can you remember? I played Kells away for Leeds. 24-0.
Preliminary round.
I thought 28-0. Yeah, preliminary round.
Wednesday
tie.
Night. At Whitehaven.
This is the two story. This is when Maurice Bamford got the sack. And we played to Kells. We set off at. What were it, about 10 o'clock in the morning, stayed up, anyway, so we got back at 3 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, we beat Kells 28-0, I scored two tries, got booed by the Kells fans. Anyway, at half-time, fellas, and the Aussies hadn't heard anything like this in the dressing room. Peter Tungs, Peter Jackson, Steve Morris and Marty Gert. Morris ripped into John Lyon after the game. He got the man of the match, John, he scored two tries, he's the man of the match. Anyway, Morris ripped into him, just literally... called him all days from that son. How did you get the man of the match? It must have been either your mother, your father, or your granddad who picked that man of the match. You were absolutely rubbish. I don't buy into it. Anyway, just slayed the majority of us. Anyway, so we get back home. Anyway, the chairman at the time, Bernard Colby, he'd heard what had gone on. Anyway, so he called the four Aussies because they've not heard it before and called myself and they said, listen, you know, what's going on from there? Anyway, so the Aussies literally says, this is no good for us, no good for the dressing room. You know, and I say, we've never heard anything like this. And Johnny Lyon, he was the best player and he just totally belittled him. So Bernie said, well, what do you want me to do? So I said, well, it's up to you, but it's no good for the dressing room. He said, well, do you want me to sack him? We went, yeah. He went, right, OK, then. Okay. We played the next week, and then he sacked him on the Wednesday. So, fortunately for Morris, ripping into John Lyon cost him his job at Kells.
There you go. You want Alton Raiders, because you better get on the bus there, won't you? It's only around the corner from where you live, Alton Raiders.
Well, we want him at Cougar Park. We want a home draw. Who's doing the draw anyway? Do we know?
Some people on another website at 7 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah. Good luck to all the teams in there as well, because it starts to get a bit serious.
Army and be put through an assault course.
Hey, I've done
what about the draw, Phil?
I've done the assault course at Catterick. It's the hardest ever. Hardest ever work.
Fair dues.
Awful.
Alright. Right, what else is happening?
We're just all looking forward to going to Wembley. Ian says, Curtis Norton playing for Hull this week sort of seems to make the point about letting too many young outside backs go, being a bit of a mistake. Yes, no.
I'm not sure who
Curtis
would...
Norton a couple of times. I think it's just fortunate that he walked into the hotel to say hello and they said, are you free on Saturday?
Curtis Norton? Who's Curtis Norton?
He used to play for Hull.
Young winger.
Oh, did he?
Went to Australia and he's playing for Hull again on Saturday.
When did he go to Australia?
He went to Leeds, didn't he?
Yeah, he went to Leeds. He's got
he's been there
out.
Before.
He's got family out there.
Move on, anyway. You should know who he is. You've seen him play.
Oh, it's a friend of Scully's. Scully's Discovery is making the draw tomorrow.
Who's that?
Alex Walmsley.
Go on, Alex. Go, Alex, give us a home draw, please. Give us a home draw.
Give him a ring.
Give us a home draw, old Alex. So Curtis Norton, he's played for Hull. Why is he playing for Hull, then?
Because they've not. They've got that injury.
The rest of Faremo won't pass his.
But he's not registered to play for Hull, is he?
He's not. Apparently, he hasn't yet signed a contract. So.
So he signed a contract for one game?
Yeah.
He can do, yeah. Because it's not a.
His visa hasn't come or something to let him play for Newcastle, so Nathan Brown said he can play.
All right.
Move on anyway.
All right.
In disciplinary news, Morgan Knowles has got a grade E for a dangerous throw.
It was a shocker, wasn't it?
Deserved 6 matches.
Yeah, it was a shocker.
Deserved 6. And they'll just still give him 8, 6 to 8 matches, and they say quite simply then, we don't want tackles like that. We don't want to see
and it's
that.
It's all
sort
I'm saying, he's not one of those guys, blah, blah, blah. No. But that could have done some
and
serious
it was
damage.
And it was intent as well. When he dropped him, it was intentional.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll ever know intent in a situation that. The fact is, the technique was wrong, and you banned somebody, and they don't do it again.
Well, Phil, for me, what I saw, he rammed him into that ground at all when he picked him up from there, and it was an awful tackle, 6 to 8 weeks. They'll ban it. It'll stop players doing it.
Danny says it was great to see Wigan field 12 English players in their starting 13 against Hull. Of course, everyone got excited last week on social media because they do about things. And Graham says it's great that the NRL is back on Sky, but they'll be only showing 3 live games a week, unlike Premier, which showed every game live. Surely Sky can have a dedicated rugby league channel like they do for cricket, darts and football. Well, darts is only on when the World Championship.
They won't pay. I mean, the fact is the NRL don't want them to have all the games because the NRL have developed an app where you pay a fee to the NRL and you get access to all the games. So the fact that we've got 3 is the NRL saying, well, we'll expand our market into Europe and you can see some of what we offer. The great thing is we've got State of Origin included in that.
Which is the main
thing. Got the test matches included in that, which is fantastic. And we've got the grand final included in it. I don't think we can complain that we've only got 3 out of 6 games.
Why were people last week getting very upset that Sky had bought the rights to the NRL, thus giving you more value for the subscription you've already got to watch the Super League?
The only thing that's odd is they've done a 5-year deal with the NRL and we've got 4 years of our Super League deal to run.
That would say to me they haven't paid a lot for it. And if Premier Sports didn't pay a lot for it,
no,
so
I'm
don't let
sure
anyone kid you any different.
I don't understand these people saying, oh, it's going to take money away from Super League. No, it's not. Come on.
Why is it going to take money away?
Because people are stupid. Because they jump to conclusions. These are people involved in the game who tweet nonsense.
I think Sky have gone for some content that they can repeat on a regular
cheap
basis
content.
That they know there is a market for.
Yeah.
And they won't have paid a lot for it. The NRL know that if they don't give all of their products, it's expanding their reach and awareness. So it works for everybody.
Does.
Toby's mentioned the conference, which is going to be on TV soon. Great for the game, he says, but getting more coverage than the Championship and League One now, which is it's the same in football, isn't it? The football conference on BT is on more than Divisions 3 and 4, Leagues 1 and 2. It's...
Yeah, good luck to the people involved. Hope it works. It's a big commitment. Time will tell.
It's all at the same time as Catalan's home games.
Yeah, which is not ideal, is it?
Final score.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Elsewhere on the social media, James asks us, what do we think of taking the Magic Weekend to cities such as Barcelona, Dublin and Munich, help expand the sports in development countries? #, Scully loves an away day. Well, I don't know if our budget stretches to going to Dublin or Barcelona or anything, though.
It's part of the plan, though, isn't it? That if you can do it far enough in advance so that fans can look forward to it and save up for it, then fine. But what we don't want is to be told it's going to Barcelona 10 minutes before it happens.
I was going to say, they went to Barcelona. Warrington played there, didn't they? And they got a great crowd.
The highest crowd Catalan
have
ever had.
Why have they never gone back there? I can't understand that.
Why did we not go?
Especially given everything that's happening in Spain at the minute, you'd think there'd almost be an act of defiance. We want them to come.
Absolutely.
But I don't know. Yeah, we are for it. We've said it. I've said it before. I'll say it again.
It should be a movable feast.
I think if Michael Carter gets an offer, we'll give you X number of pounds for the game. Can we have it?
The world is shrinking, not literally, but in terms of global sport. So to go to Dublin with enough notice is actually easier than travelling on the M62 and getting turfed off 3 times on your way home. You can turn up at an airport and be in Dublin in an hour.
Half an hour, can you?
You can go to Barcelona in 2 hours.
But expensive now, though, Dublin.
But why did 5,000 people from Wigan and Hull want to go to Australia? Why are Leeds fans flying out to Melbourne? Because they want to be part of an experience. Why is the most sought-after away fixture when they come out, when are we playing Catalan? Because it's part of the experience. So, yes, absolutely, Magic Weekend should be a movable feast, but only if we give people enough notice. Yep. And that's why this, we want to move a game to New York, is unfair on whichever team is sacrificing a home game, because you bought a season ticket on the basis of the fact that you know where your games are going to be. Do it next year, I can understand it, but not this year.
So do you think, and I say, for instance, at Headingley, Leeds and Wigan fixture normally gets you, what, 18,000-20,000? I guess if the money was right, Gary would sacrifice a home fixture?
Yeah, and I think it's how you market it, isn't it? You sell it as an experience. Wigan have made money by reducing one of their home games.
Yeah.
So it works.
Yeah, of course it does.
And you look after your fans. Those that go have been to some fabulous events that they'll never forget, including a couple of brilliant nights for Brett Kenny. Those that didn't go were invited to the stadium to go and watch it as a collective, which is great. And the season tickets will have had the value of one game less on them. So everybody wins.
Well, it's good that they completely cocked up that shield as well by putting the first Super League game played outside the UK. But of course, the first Super League game ever
was, in fact, the first Super League
played outside the UK.
Whatever happened to Paris?
And whatever happened to Sheffield?
Whatever happened to Gateshead? Whatever happened to...
Move Gateshead's on. Still in the UK, I think. I don't think they've annexed the North East just yet. We're trying to annex Yorkshire, but it's not happened just yet. League One kicks off this week, says Bryn. Game of the week is York versus Bradford, surely. Well, obviously it's not. It's Keighley versus Workington. What are your predictions, and do you think both will get promoted?
We'll see. What we'll add that into our predictions at the end. I think it's only fair. It's a big game as well.
I know
well.
Bradford have sold over 1,000 tickets.
Saw York were tweeting this morning. They sold another 100 this morning on top of what they've already sold. So should be a big crowd.
York are promoting like they did the game against Toronto last year, where they got the 2,500
promoting stuff. Never catch on.
It's funny that.
It won't catch on telling people there's something happening, would it?
Occasion, saying you really don't want to miss.
I forget that word. Marketing is that what it's called?
When you, big word for you, that legend.
When you're telling people that, hold on, there's something happening this weekend. If you don't,
you want to be a
under 16's free as well. I understand.
See, that's how you do it.
And Doncaster.
And credit to York forming a women's team in the new Women's Super League, which will have eight teams, and York are one of the ones that have said, we want to be part of it. Wakefield today announced their disability league trials.
Yes.
Brilliant.
All happening. It's all happening.
See, it's these League One clubs leading the way by doing stuff to get people in. Doncaster, quid for juniors to go this week against Coventry. They've got face painting, an animal roadshow. It's not Scoey in a cage, don't we? Live music. You can take on the players playing Rugby League Live on a PlayStation and all children attend, get a free gift.
Yeah.
Go on,
you'll
Doncaster.
Be taking the nephew down.
Yeah, if it wasn't working.
Hope for not Richard Shaw, right? We'll get Scoey in the stocks. Doncaster will report a record crowd.
Bit harsh.
What's it? Big family day out. That's the key. Making a day out. It's not about the 80 minutes, it's about all the other stuff around it that you can get people to come down and watch.
You can't control the 80 minutes. The reason you go to the game, you cannot control. Everything else about wanting to go to the game, you can.
Cool. Very good.
Ryan Hall and Stevie Ward have met Ross Kemp in Melbourne.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if he's doing...
staying in their hotel. Apparently.
Britain's most dangerous rugby teams or something. I don't know. It's a bit exciting.
They dwarfed him on the picture.
Yeah. We all wish Leeds all the best.
No, you don't.
We do.
No, we do.
You know why? You say it with a smile on your face. You don't. You know why?
A, because me and you have got to make it sound good on the radio, and B, they're going to need all the help they can get.
That's true.
All the help they can get.
You don't need to tell me that. I know that. It's a little gentleman on my left with a funny haircut you've got to try and convince.
Well, word has it, Phil's taking his knee bandage with him. He's going to hand it over to Stevie Ward and he's going to be Superman.
When he gets off the plane at Melbourne, he'll be on the most wanted list. With that
haircut. He's had his haircut, hasn't he? It's tremendous.
He'll be on the most wanted list.
I reckon he's got a professional barber on the job. That's not a £3 cut, that, is it?
Yeah, paid 3 quid for that. That barber's the most wanted. Huh? It must be the optician who's cut his hair and sold my glasses.
I was looking forward to going until I read Scotty's column this week.
Oh, at least the weather will be nice.
Well, it's more poor journalism from the legend. What more can I say?
I don't know.
I think it's safe to say Leeds needed all of their big forwards on board and missing four of them, two of whom they knew weren't going to be fit anyway, might just tilt the balance.
Let's not forget, I got it wrong the grand final. I said Casper to win by 20, and I've said it same here, so hopefully I'm wrong. I'm only being honest to what my views are.
I've taken the tape of that for Brian McDermott.
Hopefully,
Scotty's scared of no one.
Get some forwards.
No, you just won't be able to get in anywhere.
Get some forwards from Fev and Joe Reg.
They
are.
Ormond Road's
big. Yeah. Hey, listen, if there's anybody out there...
He'll be fit.
He's a family friend of mine.
How fantastic.
Jack.
What a great opportunity.
Well, he'll be fit, given he only got 3 minutes of the day. But never mind. Jack Ormond Road.
He must have warmed up for about 65.
I think they'd realised they'd run out of props when Mullally couldn't go back on. They had to. That's why Josh Walters is going.
Yeah. By the way, Rob Burrow is on the Big Sports Breakfast on Thursday.
Is he?
Yeah, I don't know what time, but what is it, 6:30 till 10?
Previewing the game?
Yeah, of course, yeah, he'll be on, yeah. So Rob will be on with Darren and the guys?
Rob will be looking after the players that are staying here to play Widnes next Sunday, I think.
Apparently he's on at 8 o'clock, I've been told.
Brilliant. There
you go. So he's not going to Melbourne, then?
No. Right. There you go. Yes.
9 o'clock kick-off, isn't it, on Friday morning? We'll all be up and watching. Obviously, you two will be watching. I'll be watching it at home. Exciting. Get me Australian hat on.
Yeah, you'd be like that in front of the telly, won't you? The Wakefield fan and the Bulls fan. Mm. Well, we're on radio, but yeah. Come on, Melbourne. Come on, Melbourne.
I'll be singing it with more enthusiasm than that.
Melbourne!
God, you stole! I've never heard so much rubbish in my life. Yeah, we want Leeds to win. From a Bulls fan and a Wakefield fan.
When Leeds come out.
What a load of tosh.
For the good of Super League, Gary, we need Leeds to do well.
Phil, for Leeds to do well, not for Leeds to win. Phil, do you honestly believe these two, that they want Leeds to win? Come on, Phil.
Deep down they do. They're honourable people. They can see the value of
I'll sell you out if they win. Right, I'll take us all out next week. I promise. I want them to win. Want them to win.
Phil's not here next week.
And I'll only have to put a fiver on. I'll pay for us all to go out anyway. The odds are that big.
Do you know what? He's never done that before since we've all been worked together. So he knows. He knows when he's
has
on.
He knows.
Yeah, he knows he's on to a winner. I'm glad for Peter to give that penalty away now.
It's a big Dave on loan because I haven't got a game this week. Big Dave lining up in the amber and blue. Val has been on. Says, I can't afford to use my holiday. I'm travelling to Barcelona or Munich to watch Super League. Not many people could afford it either. But if Scully is going into stocks, I will be there.
So there you go, Val. There you go. What a better way to spend
John
your money.
I'm surprised that the RFL haven't rung him up to be the main centre of attraction.
So
Magic Weekend.
Put it
stick
out there
in
to
the
listeners. If I was in the stocks, what really should be thrown at me? Sponges?
No,
old fruit?
Rotten
tomatoes?
Eggs? Bricks?
copies of your
What would you want to be thrown at me?
Something hard, honestly. Heavy.
John says, will the stocks be big enough? It's his head that will be the problem.
What's he saying? Your head
would be too big to go in them.
Oh, who's that?
He also says, why don't about the RFL promoting things in the Championship and Championship One?
I mean, it's down to the clubs as
well. Well, he said clubs for family days instead of pushing clubs like Toulouse who don't bring anyone to Fev yesterday.
Fev got over 2,000, though, which, you promote it as an event and your home fans go. 2,000 is a great crowd.
It's up to you to rely on
it. It's not about how many are going to come from. And, York aren't promoting it solely for the fact that it's going to be Bradford fans there. They want to get York people there that they can hook for the rest of the season.
Yeah. Tins of peas has been sort of should
sense.
Be thrown at you.
Makes
I mean,
sense.
I'd take an helmet if I were you.
You throw peas on me, yeah. I'll be trying to get, yeah.
You're like Homer Simpson eating the donuts.
throw the whole tins. Come on, it's a bit harsh, isn't it?
It's up to the home clubs to sell the tickets to their own supporters who will go week in, week out, not rely on Leeds to turn up once a year.
Well, six times a year, as it is.
Well, yeah. It makes us if we're doing any more challenges this season. We're always up for challenges. staff to be invited.
Yeah, I think cases have sold this. Are they selling up, aren't they?
Are they?
Yeah, yeah. So we ought better do that again, thank God.
Why don't we get there? Why don't we get there before they sell up?
Well, because the big story in Ossie this week, the merger of the two football clubs, which all our listeners nowhere near the Yorkshire will have any interest in whatsoever. Mergers.
Yeah.
It's not just a rugby league thing.
Move on.
Jimmy's asked, is it 3 points for winning the championship? No.
Probably no, he said it on the on the website. We'll have a look at that.
So it's probably pressed the wrong button.
Possibly.
But, you know,
possibly. Right, let's have a... We should really have... I know we've been talking about the rugby, but I guess we should spend a little bit more time on it. No, we've mentioned Huddersfield. We've mentioned it all. And we'll have a chat about the championship then. Big win for Fev over Toulouse.
Mm, yeah, big win. Yeah.
2 out of 2. Play London next week. Oh, that'll
Top
be a big
table.
Game.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it should be a big game, shouldn't it? And I say, I don't think... Do they normally travel that well down there at Featherston? But I would imagine there'll be overnight stay. And certainly the two big guns who are doing expecting to start out well in Ridyard and Tom Holmes from Cass, you know, they've been the big main difference from there. Duffy himself, you know, he's playing the right way. Toulouse competed quite well for the first 40 minutes, but Featherston, I think the fitness levels as well, what Duffy's brought in, I think they're a bit more mobile and a little bit more fitter from there. So, yeah, great win for Featherston.
Great consistency from Rochdale so far this season.
Oh, they're the best team in rugby league.
Yeah, yeah. But also, you mentioned London. Yeah, I'm delighted for Danny Ward. He's got himself off to a great start in the coaching career.
He's only conceded 12 points in 2 games. He's really impressive. And the conditions were a bit of a lottery this week for every club. So to keep a team out, whoever they were playing, and Dewsbury are no mugs at home, particularly under Neil Kelly, I think that's a big result.
Yeah, it is a big result. And I'll tell you what as well, if Danny's like his old man, as I mentioned with David, you know, he's one of the best coaches who coached me. And I would imagine... in the dressing room, he'll be having a smile on the face. They'll be enjoying the environment what Danny will bring because, as I say, himself, he knows himself. He likes a few pints after the game, and he likes a bit of socialising with Danny. So I'm sure the lads will be working pretty hard. They're getting the right results, and he'll be rewarding them by letting them enjoy themselves and having that smile on their face. It'll be a good environment.
Halifax, Toronto as well in the championship. Barrow against Lee.
Yeah, so big games, isn't there? So big games, entertaining games from there. Let's just hope, you know, the weather stays all right so we can get some, you know, decent quality, certainly with ball in hand.
Okay, fair dues.
We've made it onto the Guardian website this week, onto the Guardian's bits of comments from people.
Coleman balls.
Hello to Zagreb Rhino. He says, nice piece of commentary on the Wakefield on proper radio. Almost got the name of the station right.
Yeah.
In fairness, we don't know it.
Yeah.
Commentator, I believe that's you. That's a nice touch with the feet by Grix. He could get a game with Leeds United. And it says Neil Kelly, who was not with us, Andy, you don't need a touch that good to get a game with Leeds United.
Fair. Half but fair.
We say it as it is.
Half but fair.
So, thanks, Zagreb Rhino. Close.
Yeah.
Close.
Wrong name of the station, wrong person, but thank you anyway. Yeah, and, it's the thought that counts.
And the RFO website does say 4 points for 2 games, so it's not 6, 3 points to win. So I don't know what's going on with your website, Jimmy.
Go back.
Oh, hang on. Well, the slowest computers.
All right. They're not the greatest, are they? They're not the greatest. Who was the team in...
Points for. Oh, Wolfpack. Yeah, I've got 3 because I've won a game and a draw.
That's fair, dude.
They're still unbeaten, the great Torontonians. Gavin says, why are we obsessed with away support from expansion teams? Because people just want to give them a kick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tracy says, if Leeds win, we should pay a forfeit.
Don't worry, we will do.
What?
No
what?
Problem.
Your suggestions.
Yeah. When everyone else
does
has
it
got...
involve maple syrup?
When everyone else has got off the floor laughing, then we'll think about it.
Are you taking the maple syrup to Australia? You go in with Tracy, aren't you? So are you both sharing it on that long flight and in your hotel and not... giving us lads.
They're going to take a shot glass and drink it, are they?
Can't
take. What are we supposed to do with syrup?
Can't take any food in or bring it out.
You can if you declare it. You can if you declare it.
Not there long enough.
I bet the pair of you have already eaten it and drunk it, or whatever you've done.
Keeping the engine warm. Not there long enough.
I bet the pair of you have eaten it and drunk it, haven't you?
Jordan doesn't listen to this programme. He says, to be fair, because does anyone take any notice of what Schofield says anymore? He's not, if it's not Leeds, he has nothing positive to say. Jordan, you don't listen to the programme.
Tweet him back and say, you don't listen.
We're fighting back.
Yeah.
We're fighting back. All these other radio stations, they go, we're fighting back. We'll say, if we don't like him,
if it's not Leeds, I'm not... What's he on about him? Where's he from?
I think he's a Hull fan.
Yeah. Thinks you're a Judas. What are you doing?
I don't know where he got that from.
Christoph says they've updated the website because yesterday it did say 6 points.
Ah, oh, fair enough. Oh, well. Never mind, Christoph.
Yorkshire Pros has written us a poem.
Oh, go on then. He should come on. We should have him in one day. Yeah. He should do the intro and make it sound like we actually know what we're doing.
I can't do poetry. Who's this? Yorkshire Pros. Yeah. Like, I feel like under pressure now because I'm going to read.
Go on.
Sounds of a Monday night. Proper sport ripping in right. There's vision and awareness, but in all fairness, a lot of scoey breathing down Mike. Hey, I can't do the
Yorkshire accent. He knows. I'm banging on the desk.
Apologies.
Great F banging on the desk.
Apologies, Yorkshire.
Every week.
Wonderful stuff.
Yeah, thank you for that.
The bloke's a tool, says Jordan, wrecking a great career and his reputation by speaking rubbish in the media, slagging clubs and players off.
Who's that?
You.
Yeah, who's put that in?
Jordan.
Oh, Jordan. Where's he from, Jordan?
Be a Hull fan.
We've just told you he's from Hull.
Yeah. By the way, I should say, one, if you are having a go at people on social media who've missed goal kicks in a match, remember the fact that they hit a drop goal that kept you in the division in the first place.
Yeah.
And B, if you're having a go at people for making mistakes in their job and you're the coach for a junior team, have a think about what you tweet, first of all.
Come Jordan as well, if you don't like open honesty, go somewhere else, son.
Well said, legend. Well done, Gary. Oh, very diplomatic.
Go listen
there.
To the other side.
Thank you, Mark.
You all right?
Thank you, Mark.
You're mellowing in your old age. Mm. What's happened?
Well, John listens on the podcast, so he'll enjoy this one. We slagged him off. So. It's all right. There's another Rugby League podcast, Jordan. We've seen the charts. We know what's going on. We know what's happening. Don't you worry about that. We check that chart every day.
Outrageous behaviour.
Yeah. Outrageous. We're just going like, no, scattergun approach now. Everyone's a target.
That's very harsh. Very harsh. So we've slated plenty tonight. Yeah. What did he say? Sneed, Kelly. Who else did he put on that list?
Pearson, apparently, as well.
I haven't said anything about Adam Pearson. I asked a question. Is he in Lenigan's pocket? That's all I've asked.
Fair enough.
Jimmy's pointed out it's been updated as well. Apparently, people want to see you in a race against Johnny Vegas. Is this a thing?
Or
is this,
I don't is know. Someone... You'd better beat Johnny Vegas, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I can. Over 100. Give him 20 start.
Yeah? It's only 20?
20.
I don't think Johnny Vegas could run 80 yards, could he? I mean, Johnny, if you're listening.
He scored that strike for Saints once, and then they put him on Sports Personality and ruined that programme forever.
Do people still think...
I like Johnny Vegas.
People still think that I couldn't do 100 yards. I tell you what, just go on the YouTube when I was down there at 4 years ago.
Yeah, but...
I was down
4 years ago.
And coming back, doing press-ups at the 25, halfway,
there's
25
there's
and
lots
trial,
of
I'm
things you could do 4 years ago that you can't do now.
It's a bit harsh, Mr Kaplan.
It's a bit
harsh, Mr Kaplan. It's a bit harsh, don't worry about that.
Craig's looking forward to joining the Bulls Army to York on Sunday.
Brilliant.
Scully, did you cancel the open-top bus around Keighley after yesterday's defeat?
That's a friendly.
It's a bit harsh. Eh? But I tell you what, it's competitive. I tell you what, wait till you come to Kilgore Park on March the 11th. We're getting ripped in. Don't worry about that. On Sunday against Workington. I know we're getting ripped in.
Odsall microclimate like yesterday?
It had all the four seasons, wasn't it? It was freezing. Freezing. The sun, and then the rain, and then the wind, and then the snow. Yeah. But anyway. It is what it is. It was freezing, but great atmosphere.
Read John Turpin's, message. Yeah.
John, listen to this programme. Would there be interest for an hour-long championship programme on TV? Each club send their own highlights in, and each week the show can be broadcast from a championship ground. John, this is the idea.
John, we have been asking for over a year, and I mean this now. When I can say, I can show you the emails, the messages we've been asking. We've offered to do it for free, and we've still not to this day had a
response. Yeah, you're not on it. Now.
Obviously, I'm not on the commentary.
No, you're not on it. Sorry, we've sacked you. Did you not get the email? I wondered why you were here. This is either really great sportsmanship or he's not on that envelope.
Well, I've got to ask a question because you know when you were trying to sell me off, asking for a fee of 30 grand. Asking for a.
We offered 30 grand to get rid of you.
Asking for a fee of 30 grand. I'm thinking, everybody think I get paid 30 grand here.
Do you know what I don't understand about the championship and this reluctance to come back to you about a highlight show? One of the best received television programmes ever. It won awards.
Yeah.
Was Rugby League Raw.
Yes.
The market is there. I understand that the major broadcasters don't have the budget because if you're going to do it to an HD specification, it costs quite a bit of money and setup. But having seen again another fantastic game in the Challenge Cup that was streamed with one camera, there's a market for it. It looks good. A highlights program with quality highlights sent in by the clubs, discussed around a table with guests from those clubs or hosted at one of those clubs. There'd be a market for it. There'd be a sponsor for it. Peas would be overflowing for it.
Have they been delivered yet anyway, the bachelor's peas for us?
I don't think they have. No.
Why are we getting any?
Well, we should do.
I don't know. They were sponsoring something last week, weren't they, the show?
I thought they sponsored something every week.
I don't know.
As Mark says,
I don't think they can afford enough peas for you.
If it's not on TV, have it online. That's the idea.
Well, but what we offered. Guys, I'm sick of offering.
It's not like we're giving a trade secret out of what the idea would be. It's a bloody highlight show. They're all the same. Whether you watch Match of the Day or the Super League show or Sky's full-time thing, I can't remember what it's called, they're all the same concept. There's no magic here. We're just saying, you know, if we were given the opportunity, that's all we're asking.
Yeah.
We'll do it. But we're doing it for the good of the sport. Everyone talks about the good of the sport.
We started this programme talking about the rights and wrongs of Mr. Hetherington's diatribe against the media, and the counter to that is we don't get enough information from the game.
Yeah.
Here is the classic
example.
We want to more. We want to help.
If you don't reply to your emails, how do you expect people to run newspapers?
We're trying to help. Everyone's trying to help. Everyone wants to make Rugby League bigger, because then we're all bigger. We all get the pie gets bigger for all of us.
I think the game now understands the market it's got, the market it's trying to hit, the response you would get to that, how much it would cost, who'd be prepared to sponsor it. Why wouldn't you do it?
There's never been as much minuscule courage of rugby league. There's some quality stuff out there.
Clubs like Featherstone are doing fantastic jobs of their own, filming their own side. If you could put all that together into a package, why wouldn't you? The danger, of course, is that we then go to the eights and then another broadcaster has the rights to them, so you can't finish the tale.
Well, we would be the official home of the Championship Shield, and we would make it the most vibrant competition in rugby league.
There you go.
Would you have Sco in the stocks at the final?
What final?
The Shield final.
I think we had Scully commentating on the final when Bradford beat Sheffield.
Bradford's last ever game.
I think he found it hard to contain his enthusiasm for the competition. So we might have to look elsewhere.
Bradford's last ever game.
Scully, you sat.
It's in the trophy cabinet.
Is it?
Where not?
It shouldn't be.
It should be
sold off.
Old Brad. Old Brad.
That is a good point. Why was it? Have they all been like impounded or whatever? I don't know.
Well, there's World Club challenges up there and.
I don't know.
Replica Super League trophies.
Is that just
should
like
have been sold, shouldn't they, when the club got liquidated, surely?
A lot of loo rolls stuck together and put tinfoil on it and drawn an S.
Hold on.
It's sort of like where your Yorkshire Cup is, don't we? Yeah.
Like,
well,
we're still looking to liberate that. Still looking to liberate that.
You know, if I ever does get liberated, where the police are going to come.
A bit of Wigan. A bit of Wigan with
Richard
all the other
Shawright.
Yeah.
Where were you last night?
Hello. Where's this trophy, Mr. Shawright?
There it is. Wigan have got all the trophies anyway. We know that. Andrew says we should just broadcast it live on YouTube every week. We would. We put it on YouTube. We'd look. Tell them. We can't do any more.
Maybe the club should come together and demand it.
But they've all got their little fiefdoms as well, haven't they? So
yes, right. Let's do the predictions. Not actually. There's not that many.
We're doing league one,
aren't we?
I'm going to pick selected matches now. I can't remember how we all did last week.
Five out of six, me.
Oh, you say that every week.
Oh, yeah, five out of six. All we got wrong was Warrington Huddersfield. So I get five out of six.
Yeah, I think
in fairness, I got four this week because I think I went for Catalans. Rather stupidly.
Yeah. That's the only one I got wrong. Huddersfield Warrington.
I rely on Matt Horton, but that's his dereliction of duty.
What did you get for last week?
Going off.
I thought it was written down.
What did you get?
I found him. Right, Gary Schofield, Warrington Wolves. Leeds, Wakefield, St Helens, Hull. So you didn't get five out of six, did you?
Sure, I said
legend. Hull by 10 and Cass by 14. So four for the legend.
I'm sure I said wicked.
Phil Kaplan, Warrington Wolves, yes. Leeds, yes. Wakefield, yes. St Helens, yes.
Warrington Wolves
yes.
got beat, no. Well, the Wolves got beat.
Hold on. Oh, yeah, so, yeah, 5 out of 6 for Phil. Cassie went for. We all went for Warrington, so that's rubbish. Richard Shaw, right. Leeds, Wakefield, St Helens, Wigan, and Cass, so 5 for you. And I got 4 because I was the only one that went for the Dragons. So there you go. So.
Sure, I went for Wigan.
Well, I wrote it down. You did.
No, you didn't.
There you go. Right.
Well, can I go for Wigan?
No.
This week you can, yeah.
So you got 5 last week, legend.
Yeah, yeah. Four this week.
And 4 this week, that's 9. Yeah. Phil got 6 last week and 5 this week. Oof. So that's 11. Richard, you got 5 last week and 5 this week, was it?
Yeah, well, it's consistent.
10.
Yeah.
And I got 5 and 4, so that's 9.
Yeah.
So Phil's winning.
Right.
Pick too
early again.
Okay, Hulkar Catalans, Thursday night, live on Proper Sport, by the way.
Yeah, it's an interesting one as well, is it? Because, as I said, the Catalans, excellent performance against St Helens. If it had been any other side there on at the weekend, then you'd say maybe Catalans would have turned them over, but St Helens are in great form. So it's just a question with the travelling again, isn't it, for Catalans. Hulkar Rovers, yeah. The performance against Leeds, I guess, surprised a few people, certainly with the scoreline. Once as close as people anticipated. So I'm going to go for Hulkar Rovers, because they're at home, and as I say, playing with that effort, commitment and desire. So if they just had that quality, Maguire comes with a bit of a quality, Atkins as well. I'm going for Hulkar by 7.
Can we have a draw?
Yeah.
It's a really intriguing one, this, because obviously Catalan have got one day less and the travel, but this is where Hulkar find out how tough Super League is, because you play one week at a really high level and you've put in a lot of defence and you've got to back up and do it again. It's really tough. I'm going to go for a draw.
Draw?
First draw of the season.
Right, OK, fair dues.
I've learnt you should never back the French through various exploits in football, but I'm going for the Catalan Dragons.
Ooh, I'm going Hulkar. I think they win by 8. I like it. Right, Widnes against Warrington.
The prima donnas, the egos of Warrington, they won't like going to Widnes. They won't like going that ground. They don't like going to popular league grounds anyway. So I think Widnes, the way they've started out from there, plenty of confidence in there. It's an happy environment, good dressing room. I think Widnes will batter Warrington. I do. I'm going Widnes by 20.
What? Right, no, hey, fine. I'm not saying I'm going to be too far away.
No. I'm just impressed with the togetherness of Widnes at the moment. I think they've really got something. The home ground advantage will help them as well. I think Warrington are starting to question themselves on the back of the traumatic time they had last year, so I'm going to go for Widnes. Maybe not as boldly,
all right. No worries.
By 20, but Widnes, yeah.
Kevin Brown Shield, winners, 2018, Widnes.
Wow. Full house for Widnes.
For all those people who remember...
I'm going 16, Ledge, aren't I?
We would have thought that when the predictions at the beginning of the year, and you were saying, Widnes will be bottom of the league. And now,
and so were you, and so were you, and so were you. Everybody were.
I didn't have Widnes.
Everybody were. Everybody was saying Widnes were going to finish bottom or second bottom.
I was going to do St George Hull, but I think given Hull have got no players left, that would be wrong. But South Sydney against Wigan will do.
Be interesting to see James Graham make his debut for St George, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, St George will bat a whole wall because of nobody. So, what are we?
South Wigan.
We're not doing St George, no. Yeah, South Wigan. I tell you what, the Burgess boys as well. They're off of Bradford. There'll be no love lost when they're ripping it in the Wigan forwards. I can tell you, the new coach Anthony Seibold, he reckons the Burgess twins have been really ripping in pre-season. But Wigan, they want to make up for what happened, 4 years ago now against the Roosters, was it? They didn't really. 2015, was it? You know, 3 years ago now, so they weren't really impressed with that. So. I reckon this could be tasty. I do, but I reckon South will be ripping in. I'm going South by 10.
Mm. Yeah, I think there's some really good reasons why Wigan will want to be good, not least Joe Burgess if he plays, Sam Tompkins. I think they want to show the NRL what they really could have done if they'd been injury-free, but I've just got a feeling that it'll matter a little bit more to South. It's their first hit out of the season. They're playing for jumpers in the NRL first round. Wigan have achieved what they needed to by going over there. They'll want to be credible. And you can't say that Sean Wayne didn't want to win every game. But
okay.
I'm going South.
South.
I'm going Wigan. I think Wigan will win. We'll see. Matt on me on again there, lads. Never mind, don't worry about me.
Are you going bonkers, Mr. Wilson?
No, not at all.
Curry and Hazel with Mr. Wynn.
Right, London against Featherstone. So we've got to be quick now.
Yeah, this is an interesting one, mouth-watering, to be honest. We have two sides in good form, and the two coaches who want to play the right way from there, but I'm just going for a little bit, Mel Qualley, maybe at the half-backs in Ridyard and Holmes. I'm going 7 by Featherstone.
Yeah.
I'm going to go London.
Yeah.
Draw.
I'm going London. Right, the big one this weekend, the one we've been speaking about all night, it's Keighley against Workington.
Well, boys, there's only one winner here. And if anybody else goes for Workington, I'm telling you what, there'll be some noises in this room what people will want to hear. It's got to be the Cougars. It's the Cougars by 14. Simple. There you go.
Leon Price's first official game.
Phil, don't come with the rubbish. Don't come with the rubbish, Phil. Come on, Cougars.
I don't see enough of either team to pass judgment.
Told you how good we have, Phil. So you
come
go.
On, yeah. Have a go. You've got to have a go.
Workington.
Yes, Workington.
I'm not here next week.
You won't be on that plane. Don't worry about that.
I'll go for the Cougars.
See, we're going for Keighley. Richard's all right. See,
with a bit of purpose. Richard Riviere's been on and says Scotty tipped Wigan in the League Express by 10 and now South by 10 on the radio. How does that work?
Playing the price, playing the market.
It's a misprint.
That's what you're going to say every week. Well, I didn't say that. That's not my words.
Have you watched the Cougars, Richard Shaw?
Yeah,
how many?
The Cougars. I've no idea.
Oh, come on, I've told you how good we are.
Leon as a columnist in 40-20, I've got to go with Workington.
Melbourne against Leeds.
Well, you went for Cougars off, didn't you?
Oh, Cougars, yeah. Were you, mate? Give me a badge and I'll start.
That'll do, yeah. We'll have some of that. It's Melbourne by 24.
Yeah. Phil?
Leeds will create history.
What, were the biggest losing margin
80
ever?
Points to
nil. Leeds will create history.
Phil, come on, Phil, please.
Right, I'm putting you down for Leeds. That's where I answer your question.
That's all right.
Storm, innit?
Storm. How many, Rich?
How much are they off the salary cap these? Oh, that's the old day.
By 12.
Before
that.
34.
If they play like they did
and
in
I
the
want Leeds
final.
To be.
He was
and I want Leeds to be.
Brian McDermott was lulling them into a false sense of security last week by Leeds being rubbish. That's what he was doing.
Exactly.
Go on, Brian, Matt. Bring
Come
the
on, Brian. Most successful Leeds coach ever. We want him to win. We like Brian.
Oh, yeah,
we
absolutely.
Like Brian.
You won't be allowed to speak to him now, but we like
other
him.
Other people we don't like, but we like Brian.
Yeah, there you go. So we are live, actually, on Thursday. We're at Hull Care Catalans. I'm looking forward to that. I think Hull Care I love too much. I think next week when we meet up, I know Phil's not here, we'll be talking about a couple of clubs in crisis.
We're going early. Crisis.
I'll tell you, listen, I'm telling you, one of them is Warrington. You mark my words.
Year.
The players did the job last year. They got Tony Smith the sack, and we know it was a disastrous season. The players are going the right way to get rid of Steve Price. They are.
The price is wrong.
What about York and Bradford?
The price is gone.
Oh, yeah, forgot about that. Apologies. Right, we have got to be really quick. I did mean to do that one, but I got carried away with the Keighley Cougars and dreaming of Melbourne winning by 34.
This is a great clash of the coaches. James Ford, the young up-and-coming coach, and John Keir, the most experienced coach.
Go on, then.
Brilliant game.
Where are you going, Les?
I think it'd be a cracking game. And do you know what? I don't often sit on the fence. Am I going for a draw? Can't go for a draw. Do you know what? I'm going to go for York.
Are you?
I know they're pretty impressive. Matt Campbell tells me the good coach, good players there. You know what? I'm going for York by 7.
Bradford, but narrowly.
A Leeds fan going for Bradford. How can you go for Bradford when he's across the road here, Phil?
Because
Bradford.
I'm going for York. I think this game might be a bit early for Bradford. Mm. I'm still not, and they've got no
Chisholm. Chisholm's not.
I
playing,
think they're they haven't scored a lot of points, have they? I know they scored some against Keighley, but that don't count.
Who are they dual reg with?
Toronto.
Oh yeah, they're getting Toronto players this week.
Maybe. Maybe. I saw the Toronto's players in Greggs this morning anyway, so that made me feel better. I thought, if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for me.
That's what I call a recovery session.
Oh, a bit and a latte, please. Make it extra bacon.
I must admit, when I went to go to League Express at the shop from there, there's just a little place inside it, just where they do the breakfast. I thought, do I? No, of course I do. I'll have a large bacon in there.
Andrew, Ollie's on tomorrow. Ollie Home Show tomorrow from 6.
Yeah, Ollie's on tomorrow, so get stuck in. 6 till 8, same place. Tune in, Andrew. Get stuck into him. He went really well last week. A large array of topics. Him and Jay Hitchcock's in with Danny Parkinson. The boys got their own show. You can get that on the podcast as well. That's it. Done. 2 hours. Blasted off.
Enjoy
getting
it.
Exciting. Now we've got some rugby to talk about.
Yep. Enjoyed it.
Hopefully. Next week, if Leeds do win the World Club Challenge, we won't have all been banned from Leeds. But we'll worry about that next week. Thanks to Legend. Thanks to Phil. Have a safe trip, Phil.
Yeah, Phil, you and Tracy.
Safe
have a
travels.
Trip on you. Enjoy.
And Richard, we'll see you next week. Wakey will still be unbeaten
this
time next week.
This is Proper Sport.